Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Remember when I couldn't even get Swanee to do a funny voice? Now he breaks right into song. I have smashed your whatever parameters you once had. Gone because of me. Happy Oscar Sunday, everybody.
Hooray for Hollywood.
Yes, I can't shut them up.
Hollywood.
There's a really easy way. See that thing that says news on your board there?
The button that says off?
Yeah, the one that's red, you push the other one. Push the white one.
I would never turn his button off.
Pushes the buttons, but he never turns.
Far too entertaining. Entertaining.
This is your night tonight.
This is my favorite night of the year. Who doesn't enjoy an evening without sleep? When you see me on TV tomorrow morning, I'll have so much makeup on. I will look like I went to Earl Scheib to get my face done. That's how dark the circles will be under my eyes from staying up all night with this Oscar mumbo jumbo.
I'll paint any car.
That's right.
Any car.
Dean Richards, $99.99.
No ups, no extras.
So, I've got my Oscar predictions. We're going to bring in a panel of critics later. Because really, you can't beat this Oscar story into the ground too much for my money. We'll talk about all of that. We've got some of my A-list interviews with the nominated actors and actresses coming up later on. We've got a lot of things to get to on the program today. Not to mention the fact that we will be covering the weather, because it's a little bit on the dangerous side outside with all the heavy winds. I noticed tree branches all over the place. When I was driving in, I didn't see any power lines down, but as Shawnee reported, and I'm sure we're going to be hearing more of, because the winds are going to stay dangerously high today, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
That's the
winds
that's
40
the
to 60 miles an hour. We had Mike reporting in the newscast that the highest so far reported 70 miles an hour at Michigan City, which is at the lighthouse right on Lake Michigan,
right.
70 miles an hour. Winds gusting now, right now, at O'Hare this hour to 44.
Yeah, it's super high. We may see the lighthouse fly by the 18th floor window today. I'm just wondering how strong these windows are they put up here for us.
We will find out.
Used to be when we were over at the other dump, the windows were reinforced, so nobody could break through the windows. I don't think they ever thought anything could fly through the windows up here on the 18th floor in our new digs.
Well, we may find out.
But we may see cranes going by today, and I don't mean the winged kinds. We may see the Michigan City Lighthouse flying by. Who knows what could...
If I see you hanging on to the window framework, I'll know.
You'll know what happened.
I'll know what happened.
Yeah, you'll know what happened. Okay, so we're going to keep an eye on all that. We'll talk with Mike Hamernick, meteorologist Mike Hamernick, live in about an hour. We'll check in with him and just get the update on that. So are you guys ready for the big remote broadcast that we have coming up in a couple of weeks?
Right. The air climb, right?
The American Lung Association Fight for Air Climb.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be broadcasting live from Presidential Towers, and we'll all be there.
This is the third or fourth one, isn't it?
Well, they've had many walks, climbs prior to our broadcast there. But I think this might be this has to be maybe our fourth or fifth broadcast.
Yeah, they still let us in.
They somehow
they keep
letting us in the building for some reason. I'm going to say they might want to review their security procedures over there a little bit. We'll be doing the full show from there two Sundays from now, Sunday, March 10th. At Presidential Towers, which is, they didn't put the exact address. It's on Madison, right? Madison and, is it Des Plaines?
Des Plaines.
Jefferson?
Yeah.
You can't miss the Presidential Towers.
No.
Everybody knows where those are.
Just follow the crowd, because everybody's going in there.
For the
stair climb.
For the stair climbing. I thought you were going to say everybody was follow the crowd. They're coming to watch our show.
We've seen people walk by and just kind of go, oh, it's them.
Pretend
and
like
then just move
people
along.
Walk by and pretend like they don't see us. They look down. They don't want to make eye contact with us.
I kind of felt guilty last year when they were walking by and we were eating breakfast sandwiches from a fast food place.
Right. Yeah, that's always
wiping our mouths with that stuff as they were walking and sweating by us.
These are the kinds of things you're going to see when you come to the live broadcast. To see Schwani pound
drinking gallons of coffee.
Gallons of coffee. This year we're going to have how many Egg McMuffins can Schwani fit in his mouth at one time contest.
And still do the news.
And hopefully.
That's going to be what the bow and arrow yes. was for our last remote broadcast. This will be how many Egg McMuffins can Schwani fit into his mouth.
And we will top it off with a dessert. Hopefully.
Oh, hot apple pie.
No. Rainbow ice cream.
Rainbow ice cream.
Nice.
Rainbow ice cream.
That was a highlight. Was that last year or the year before? Yeah, when they were there?
It wasn't last year because I would remember that.
Gosh, it's been 2 years already.
We had the folks at Rainbow Ice Cream, the greatest ice cream in the history of ice cream, come by and they dropped off some samples and we talked about the ice cream and I showed everybody how to properly eat rainbow ice cream. You were biting the ice cream.
That was an epiphany.
You don't bite rainbow ice cream. You have to slowly enjoy it in your mouth.
And I was. And not only that,
You were biting the layers off.
Well, I wanted to
eat it quickly.
You were trying
to eat it quickly and try to sneak a second one. I understand.
Well, they were so generous that they gave us actual containers that I took home.
That was very nice.
And that was gone by the rest of during the afternoon.
All right. Well, you know, all that's really important is what kind of free stuff can Schwani take home? That's why I don't allow food on the show normally. But
you figured that out after all these
years.
We
will we'll have many special guests, many live performances. We always have a lot of fun at these special broadcasts. So that's going to be 2 weeks from today. I can't wait for that. You know, and people have been saying you're going to shoot an apple off Schwani's head again like you did last time. And we've already done that. We don't want to do that again.
Yeah, it's old.
It's old. So I am up for suggestions.
You're going to be throwing a hatchet.
Well,
like the now classic Johnny Carson, Ed Ames routine.
Right. Well, that was like 60 years ago. So, yeah, I guess it's now classic.
The 40-year rule. If Steve Cochran were celebrating the oldest person on the planet, it would be you.
Wow.
That never gets old, even though it's
Welcome back. Yeah.
When the cat's away, he has no idea how much we were talking about old stuff last week. Producer Tom wasn't here. I am going to talk about one more old thing in a minute, so keep your finger on the button. So if anybody has any suggestions of things that they would like to see us do on the live broadcast, 312-981-7200. We will pretty much do anything to please you, the radio audience. You know, if you'd like to see us do something, if you'd like to see me do something, to Schwani.
It's always doing something to
that
me.
That seems to be popular. People seem to enjoy when we do something like
that. I actually did have people just come up to me and say, are they really going to shoot an apple off your head with an arrow?
Yeah, we
and
did.
I have no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah, and we did.
I do not know if I will be here the following Sunday.
So, you know, if anyone has suggestions, things that they would like to, you know, see us do, we've done these live broadcasts in front of audiences many, 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 many times through the years. And maybe there's something you would like us to do at one of these broadcasts. Feel free to give us a call. Feel free to give us a text, 312-981-7200. Here's one that says, put a knife on Schwani's head and throw an apple at it.
Oh.
Now, see, that's completely different.
That's clever.
Yeah.
To see if it sticks.
Yeah. We put a knife on your head, and then I lob... actually, Andy and I could both lob apples at you.
I smell a charity event there for the Fight for Air Climb. Three apples for a dollar?
Yeah. All the money goes to the American Lung Association.
I like where this is going.
Yeah. So, you know, here's one. Here's just one idea. Someone is asking if I'll wear a toupee. next week. I'll be happy to wear a toupee. It's radio. You'll never know if I have a toupee on or not, the radio audience. But, yeah, I'll be happy to throw a toupee on. So that's going to be next week. No, 2 weeks from now, Sunday, March 10th, Presidential Towers in the West Loop. All right.
I won't be there.
630 area code just texted. I would like to see Dean brush Schwani's teeth.
What?
Okay.
That's a bizarre. What kind of toothpaste do you use, Schwani?
Brill cream.
I see you as a Colgate man.
Yeah.
You a Colgate man, Armin?
You'll wonder where the yellow went when you brush your teeth with Pepsodent. Okay, I'm waiting for the rule and the buzzer now.
I don't think Tom even knows that that's a
he doesn't even know that exists.
40-year-old rule breaking.
That was the 70-year-old rule there.
Okay, well, maybe I'll brush his teeth next week. We'll see. See if I can find one of those big novelty toothbrushes, you know, like they use on horses. Because I'm not getting that close to with an actual toothbrush. All right, so now you got your finger on the 40-year rule alarm, because I have to plug our Bozo special. Well, wait till I break the rule. Don't fire the thing off yet until I break the rule. The Bozo special that we had that ran last week, mm-hmm. Remember that? And thank you, by the way. We got so many nice emails and texts in response to the Bozo special. Bozo Circus, the 1960s, that ran last Sunday. The encore performance is today. It's going to be on. Actually, it's going to be on against this very show.
No.
Yeah, it's going to be on today at 12 noon. So if you missed it last week, or if you want to record it, et cetera, today, 12 noon on WGN-TV. Streaming on WGNTV.com/live and also on the WGN-TV app. Now you can fire the alarm. 40-year rule broken. Bozo Circus, the 1960s. That's going to be on today at 12 on WGN. Schwani, here is someone saying that they would like us to do the final dance from the movie Dirty Dancing.
Wow. Nobody puts Schwani in a corner.
We had some excellent suggestions.
And we'll have the time of our lives, right?
Excellent suggestions. Play frisbee golf with hubcaps that you pick up at the Maxwell Street Market. Yes. Okay.
That's good.
This is very nice.
Yeah.
219 area code says that they would like to see us all do, Andy, this includes you,
okay,
all of us do a synchronized dance.
Ooh.
To what?
Like a Boys to Men kind of thing?
Oh.
Like an NSYNC kind of, that kind of, or we could be the new BTS, the South Korean boy band that's so popular.
I saw them on your report.
Yeah, they're coming to Chicago.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, they're coming to Chicago. Here is somebody say, how about a game of pin the toupee on Dean?
Spin him round and round.
We give the person a blindfold, we spin them around with a mm-hmm. toupee and see if they can see where they wind up putting it on me.
Made some good pictures, you know.
These are excellent suggestions for the show next week. Another one here from the 773 area code. Would we do the Dance of Joy from the old TV show Perfect Strangers? Remember that, where Cousin Balky and whatever the other guy's name was, I don't remember.
But Larry?
Larry, yeah.
Larry.
They would do the Dance of Joy? Yeah, why not? Maybe we can combine some of these things.
We could do the Carlton, too.
We could do the Carlton. We could do the Perfect Strangers dance. We could do the Dirty Dancing dance, all while I'm brushing Swanee's teeth.
And throwing apples at
it.
It's called multitasking.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we are multitaskers, if we're nothing else. This is all next Sunday. No, two Sundays from now.
Yeah.
I'm positive I'm going to show up on the wrong date.
You're going to be there and no one else will be.
That's the story of my life. March 10th.
Our far-flung forecast. takes us out west, away
did
out
west. Did I forget
west.
To mention that our Bozo special is going to be encore played again today at 12 noon?
Yeah, you did. You want to mention it again?
I'm trying to mention it every 10 minutes on the show today.
When I heard you snoring, I was about ready to say hot dogs, hamburgers, spaghetti, and meatballs.
Good reference.
Bozo updates on the zeros.
And now the far-flung forecast.
We go out west, southwest, actually, to Tucson, Arizona. Not Tucson.
You're a fancy talker today.
Tucson, Arizona.
Hey, Tucson, Arizona.
Population? 558. According to the census. Tucson, Arizona. Named for the Native American community that lived in the area, about 800 to 1,000 years ago.
You say this is different than Tucson, though.
Very different than Tucson,
yes. Is it spelled the same?
No, it is not. It is spelled Tusayan. Tucson. Population, 558.
558.
Now, as far as incorporated communities go, this is rather new. It was incorporated in 2010.
What?
Yeah, it's a new town. They had tried to incorporate earlier, but state law would not let them do it because the population was too small.
Then we already have a big city in this state already that sounds just like it.
Yeah, right, so you guys can incorporate.
I know, instead we'll call it Phoenixon.
Then they changed the law and said that, yes, you can incorporate only if you are close to a place of national historic significance or of environmental importance. Well, they qualified because Tucson is not far at all from the southern rim of one of the great wonders of the world, the Grand Canyon.
Oh.
And 100 years ago this coming Tuesday, Grand Canyon celebrates its 100th anniversary as a national park.
Oh, how about
this
that?
Coming Tuesday. And I will have to say the Grand Canyon is something that should be seen by everyone. It's overwhelming.
Yep.
It is overwhelming. So congratulations.
I'm not trying to, one-up the Grand Canyon, but I went by some potholes this morning.
Yeah, I've seen some Grand Canyons in and around the city, right?
Right.
But
Grand Canyon.
Tucson. Now, here's something else that's interesting about Tucson. You think we're cold here?
Yes, I do.
You want to know what the temperature is at this moment?
In Tucson?
Yeah. What
in
do you think
Arizona,
it is?
Arizona, it's where it's traditionally very warm this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
In Arizona, although near the Grand Canyon, perhaps a little chillier near the Grand Canyon.
Just a little bit. It's only 8 above.
Wow. What?
Yep. They're at 5,000 feet, you got to remember.
Yeah.
So it's only 8 above. Their high today will be 38 degrees. So, only 8 above. So they actually are colder than we are here in Chicago.
Mm.
So that's our far-flung forecast. Tucson.
I highly recommend, if we have any tourists listening, there's some fantastic potholes on Orland Street. We have some really good ones on Ontario, Ohio, here in the downtown area. Take the kids.
There's a couple on Lakeshore Drive.
Come and see the potholes downtown.
There's a couple on Lakeshore Drive.
Lakeshore Drive on the expressway. There's gigantic potholes on the expressway this year.
Yep. And it's only February.
Right.
We're not into what's considered the regular season yet.
Too bad we don't have an election going on or anything right now where the politicians would want to fill those potholes.
And if I'm elected, every pothole in the city of Chicago will be filled.
Yeah, with another politician.
Or another pothole.
I am Dave Schwann in the WGN Radio Newsroom. And these
are... Dave Schwann.
David Schwann in the WGN Radio Newsroom. And these are the stories that matter. On 720 WGN.
Coming up in just a second, reporter Jim DeRogatis joins us. We'll talk some R. Kelly next on WGN. 947, Dean Richards Sunday morning, WGN. As we have been reporting to you all week, the story of R. Kelly, undoubtedly heard the other day when a combined 10 counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse were filed against the singer R. Kelly, currently being held on a $1 million bond. a bond that he has not been able to pay. He's now spent two nights in jail. We continue to follow the story, which is making national headlines. Jim DeRogatis, as a music critic and an outstanding reporter who maybe has been following the story longer than anybody else, or certainly as long as just a very small handful of performers when the allegations first came out. It was Jim and his team at the Chicago Sun-Times that first brought it all to light. Jim joins us on the phone right now to talk about the case. Jim, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
Sure. Thank you, Dean.
And so how are you feeling now? I mean, I don't know if you feel a sense of vindication with all of this going on, a sense of frustration that this has been going on as long as possible.
That's a question that everybody keeps asking me, and it's the only question in 19 years of reporting on R. Kelly that I have trouble answering. I think mostly I feel a profound sadness, Dean. The first Chicago girl who he picked up in her choir class at Kenwood Academy was 1991. That's 28 years, Dean, of the city of Chicago failing its young black girls. I know the names of 48. I know two of the ones in the current four in the state's indictment. I don't know the other two. We could round that up to at least 50, okay? And I suspect, I have good reason to suspect, based on 19 years of reporting, that there are many more. You live in Chicago. I live in Chicago. We love this city. It's impossible to walk two blocks on the south or west sides or at any musical event, which you cover like I do, and not find people who know people who are people who've been hurt by the biggest superstar in the history of R&B. I think the story, Dean, is so big that we won't come to appreciate it for several years. One of the most successful black musicians ever preyed on untold black underage girls for 30 years in full view of the world spotlight while generating, I am told, in income for himself, almost $250 million. And yet he sits in jail now for a second day, unable to come up with $100,000.
Well, Jim, see, that's this is one of the most puzzling things to me about it, because you're 100% correct when you say that, you know, for almost these 20 years, we've been hearing reports from you, but also from people who don't want to go on record saying that they were affected, they know someone affected, they know someone who was abused, and all of this went on for nearly 20 years, and nothing happened. What changed?
Well, part of it is Time's Up and the Mute R. Kelly movement and the docuseries on Lifetime, and activists in our city, like Mickey Kendall, a brilliant young black writer, and many, many others, older women like Mary Mitchell, my colleague at the Sun-Times, who've been ringing the alarm bell for decades. Part of it is the cultural shift, and part of it is he's out of money. I hate to be so cynical, but he does not have the money to come up with $100,000 to get out of jail, much less to pay the lawyers and settlements and enablers that have allowed him to get away with allegedly these two decades of crimes. When the money runs out, he's not immune. But the money was so substantial for so long that he got away with ruining untold lives, untold number of lives. It's just, I mean, wow, is that a cynical thought for a Sunday morning?
Well, I mean, a truthful one. I mean, that's, you know.
Yes, it is true. It is true. I, you know, I never wanted to write a book, Dean, but 19 years of reporting, it needs to be told. My book, Soulless, The Case Against R. Kelly, comes out in June. It's a sad book in many ways. It's about Chicago. It's about journalism. It's about a corrupt music industry. But mostly, Dean, it's about the girls. You know, these women who've been speaking to me in heart-wrenching conditions. You know, 4 hours where they cry and bare their souls about their sexual assaults over a period sometimes of years, telling me their stories. I am only amplifying what they have told me. The heroes today, to the extent that you can call anything about this tragedy heroic, are those women, Dean. I never want to take the spotlight off of those women.
And this was evidenced yesterday. After the bond was set, R. Kelly's attorney, Steve Greenberg, was holding a press conference in which he was saying that the accusers are liars and that they are not telling the truth. You were the only one. I mean, there was an assembled press. I don't know who else was there, but I have to assume
there was 100 cameras.
Yeah.
I am told that it was crazier than it was for Smollett on Thursday.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. And I'm guessing it was a lot of the entertainment press that obviously do not understand the history and the context of all of this. But thank goodness that you were there, that you called out the attorney, you called out Steve Greenberg, and you told him to don't misquote the victims. Don't misquote the victims. I mean, that's important. You know, as attorneys are positioning themselves and trying to make a name for themselves. He called you out and said that you're writing a book implying that you're doing this for profit. I can't think of anyone who is less in this for any financial gain than you. You have always been about getting the story out, telling the truth about this story.
Yeah, well, I worked at the Sun-Times. You know, if anybody thinks I was in it for profit, it ain't the Tribune, and they're not in it for profit either. You know, I lost my cool. I mean, I have the luxury now of not being a daily journalist. I'm writing for The New Yorker. I'll have a piece up later today or tomorrow about my impressions of the last 48 hours in this story. Yeah, I lost my cool. I had just been hugged by one of the four victims in the state's new case. And her name is Geronda Pace. She is on the record. She is only in the indictment as JP. She came to court. She cried as the state's attorney described what happened to her. Dean, you know, this woman just cried and thanked me and hugged me. And then I hear her called a liar. There are some two dozen women in 6 hours of tape for Lifetime in Surviving R. Kelly, Dreen Hampton's brilliant documentary. All of them are liars. Everyone who's spoken to me for 19 years is a liar. Geronda, who was there, is a liar. And I kind of lost my cool and got mad. I regret my incivility to Mr. Greenberg. One should not perhaps drop an F-bomb at a press conference. But I don't regret questioning him harshly.
Yeah, well, also,
calling all those women a liar.
An attorney should tell the truth. An attorney shouldn't imply that somebody is challenging him because he's in it for the money, because he's writing a book. Just tell the truth. All you have to do is tell the truth. That's really.
Yeah, but see, that's indicative of our time, right? Everything is about money. It is inconceivable that these women would come out and speak the truth, their difficult truth about sexual assault, for any reason other than money, right? They just want fame and money, right? Not that they want this predatory behavior to stop, not that they are concerned. There were also two young women in court yesterday who are allegedly part of this cult that Kelly maintains. They're, you know, the one girl's parents were two rows behind her. They have not seen her for 3 years. She did not turn around and look at them. She did not speak to them. She only looked forward at Kelly. There was, you know, his entourage brought those two women in and they ushered her out. They did not speak to the media. They were there for the cameras to have their picture taken to show that they are alive and well and, you know, they want to be with Kelly. You know, I reported that story about the cult for BuzzFeed in July 2017. And that inspired these hardworking black women who have been criticizing him for 20 years to, I mean, they took it to a new level. This Mute R. Kelly movement has effectively prohibited him from playing anywhere in the United States. Yesterday, Judge Leike took away his passport. He can't play overseas. He has no money to get out of jail. He has no way without performing concerts to generate new income. He can't generate income from his music because he's been dropped by RCA, you know, after 30 years of selling on a major label his music. I think it's the end of the road for R. Kelly. But again, I take no pleasure in that. If I'd never met any of these 48 women I've spoken to, I'd be happy. I'd be fine not to have a new book about him, because that would have meant those women wouldn't have been victimized. I really would, you know, I mean, I just can't believe the enormity of this story. And I hope that the rest of the press will begin to see it as that. If we look at the 60-year history of popular music, of rock and roll, of R&B, and we start with Chuck Berry, who did 3 years in prison for a relationship with a 17-year-old Mexican girl. And we go all the way to Ryan Adams, you know, an alternative country star who once recorded for Chicago's Bloodshot, who was the subject of a Me Too story in the New York Times last week. There are many men who mistreated many women over the last 60 years in the music world. But I, and now I'm putting on my rock critic hat and my Columbia College professor hat, I don't think anybody has ever hurt as many women as Robert Sylvester Kelly, you know, Chicago's finest.
Is this, so is that why you think this is going to be different than the outcome that took place 10 years ago?
Ultimately, I hope so. But mainly, I think he no longer has any money to try to portray his many accusers as liars in court. I am less confident that Chicago will prevail than I am with the two federal investigations in New York. There's a sitting grand jury in the Southern District of New York based on investigations by the IRS and the FBI. And there's a 25-member task force of Homeland Security investigations, which is the department that's in charge of investigating sex trafficking nationwide across states. Part of what they're looking at is his violations of the Mann Act for bringing underage girls across state lines for immoral purposes, the supreme irony, Dean, for students of pop music history like you and me, is the Mann Act is what put Chuck Berry in jail for 3 years.
Yeah.
1960, right? And here we are in 2019. I think New York's got the goods. I think he's also going to soon be indicted in Atlanta, and Kim Fox may have superseding indictments based in Chicago. But I don't know. You know, it took 6.5 years, and he got out of the charges in Chicago in 2008. Now he's going to have possibly 4 cases to fight. I think it's the end of the road. But again, right now, as you and me are talking, a couple of blocks from where you're broadcasting, those two young women who are allegedly part of the cult, who were in court yesterday, are waiting for him in his apartment in Trump Tower. Yeah. And that really concerns me. Yeah. I am told that the police are watching, but, you know, if some harm comes to them, you know, I mean, they're not in the apartment, they're out front of Trump Tower, you know, and yeah, that's a horrifying thought, Dean, right?
The whole thing is horrifying. Just really, the whole thing is horrifying.
It is.
We'll see how it plays out. Jim, good for you for sticking to this with such intensity all of these years. We'll read more in The New Yorker, and hopefully you and I can talk more about it as this proceeds.
Yeah, you bet. I've always appreciated your... I think you're one of the journalists who get it, Dean.
Very nice of you. I mean, if understanding what truth is getting it, I certainly hope that I do. Jim DeRogatis, always good to talk to you, my friend. Thank you. We'll talk soon.
You bet. Take care.
Quick break, and we'll come back and update the rest of the news next. I'm going to have to get some of that garlic. I made some garlic dip the other day.
Yes, garlic breath.
And you can smell the garlic coming out of the pores of my skin. This is so delicious. So I'm going to have to go buy a 55-gallon drum of that garlic.
Same thing will happen to you as what happened to a friend of mine years ago who ate garlic roasted chicken that was so saturated with garlic.
It's so delicious.
And the next day
it's
at work,
so delicious.
They sent him home.
Roasted because, garlic is so delicious.
Yeah, oh, it is. I love it. I love it. Just, oh!
Oh, I just got it. Oh, man.
Oh!
Enjoy your breakfast, everyone. This is Chicago's very own 720. WGN Chicago, where Steve Cochran celebrates the most valuable person on the planet, weekday mornings at 7:20. It is sponsored, our news that smart speaker users say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. News is sponsored by Green Tea Services. Here is Dave Schwann.
And we have cloudy skies and very windy weather at O'Hare. Now 31 degrees. The wind's now west at 26, gusting to 47. A high wind warning in effect, and we'll have the full forecast in a couple moments. R. Kelly remains in jail, held on $1 million bond. He failed to post the $100,000 required to get out of prison. His attorney, Steven Greenberg, is addressing the bond issue.
So essentially, it's a $100,000 bond, which is exceedingly reasonable given these allegations. Right now, he's presumed innocent. We haven't seen anything, any reason to believe that these allegations are credible.
He's charged with four counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse with four female victims, three of them minors.
All that juxtaposed with what Jim DeRogatis just said.
Yes, exactly.
Fascinating. Yeah. Other
what,
side.
What an interview with Jim. Amazing.
What a story.
What a story. And in addition to what he pointed out toward the end about the fact that there may be some people waiting for R. Kelly.
Outside, I didn't know that, outside Trump Tower.
Yeah, yeah. And, cause for concern, as he said. Cause for concern.
Got that right.
11-year-old Jamari Dent remains on life support after attempting suicide. His mother, Tiana Black, said he had been bullied at school and administrators did nothing about it.
My son is laying in bed on behalf of him. If they would have nipped in and bud when I was coming up here, it wouldn't get this far.
Black said her son had been bullied at Woodson Elementary School, the grade school, for 2 years. After meeting with CPS authorities, her children will now be transferred to another school. One person is dead after a weekend tornado hit Columbus, Mississippi. 41-year-old Ashley Glenell Pounds of Tupelo was with three other people in a building that collapsed in that storm last night. That storm, part of a system that has moved through the southern U.S., leaving a lot of rain in that area for the last couple of days. The Mueller report is said to be near complete and is likely to contain information not only about alleged Russian collusion around the 2016 election, but possible financial misdeeds by President Trump. Attorney Alan Dershowitz, a vocal Trump supporter, said the president is preparing his own report that he plans to release in response.
We're going to see a rebuttal report from the Trump team. So I think the American public should withhold final judgment until they see both reports, the Mueller report and the response by the Trump team.
Dershowitz appeared on ABC's This Week. Well, do you want to live in a home along Lake Michigan that was from the 1933 Chicago World's Fair?
Yes.
You all right? Well, listen to this. In the Indiana Landmarks Commission says whoever restores the famed House of Tomorrow we'll get a 50-year lease. How'd you like a 50-year lease, Dean?
How dirty is it?
Well,
how much, when you say I have to restore it, what does that mean?
That's what I'm getting to. Here's the catch. The home needs $3 million in repairs.
I have that in my pocket right
you
now.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, all right, then go for it. I can show you right where this house is, as a matter of fact, on a beautiful drive, one of my favorite places to go out there, along Lakeshore Road. Near Beverly Shores, the House of Tomorrow. It's one of five houses that were on display at the Century of Progress, the 1933 World's Fair, and they moved them over to northern Indiana on a barge and put them there. Four of the five homes have been remodeled. They are beautiful.
And it only takes $3 million to bring back the last
this one?
And you can
yeah, have it? This is the final one that needs repairs. So if you've got a cool $3 million, the house can be yours with a 50-year lease.
Yeah, not a problem. Because I went to 7-Eleven to get some coffee this morning. They wouldn't break my $3 million bill.
So they just said, take it.
Yeah,
right?
Just here's take the coffee. Coffee, sir.
Here's coffee. Oh, and you might want to fix your hair. Has it been blowing in the wind?
Can't do a thing with my hair. Get in the swim because I'm bald. That's the joke of the day.
We will have
I encourage you, all you other bald guys out there, to annoy people with that same joke all day long today.
Can't get my hair to stay
down.
I
can't get anything with my hair.
Andy Mazur will have quite the sports cast coming up. We will check sports, traffic, and weather next on WGN. WGN Sports, Andy Mazur.
4 points out of the final playoff spot of the West. That's where the Blackhawks sit as they get back into action today. They'll be taking on the Stars at the United Center, Dallas and Colorado, each with 65 points. They own the two wild card spots. Chris Bowden has your pregame at 1:30. John and Troy have the call for you starting at 2 o'clock. on WGN and WGNRadio.com. Patrick Kane, a point in 20 straight games. He leads the Hawks with 39 goals and 54 assists. Cactus League Baseball today. The White Sox will take on the Padres in Peoria this afternoon. White Sox yesterday signing Irvin Santana to a minor league deal. Cubs will be in Scottsdale today to take on the Giants. For the first time ever, at least this year, the Bulls have won three straight games. They beat the Celtics last night 126-116. Bulls will take on Milwaukee tomorrow night. Among the action in college basketball today, Michigan hosting Michigan State. Loyola will be at Southern Illinois. Illinois State hosting Drake. UIC is home against Milwaukee. Where were you 39 years ago today?
The crowd going insane at the moment. Bedlam in here, stomping. 5 seconds to the gold medal. Four to the gold medal. This impossible dream comes true! The United States winning the gold, beating Finland 4-2.
Man, that's
USA.
How about
USA.
That? A very young Al Michaels on ABC with that final call. And by the way, this does not violate the 40-year rule. It's 39 years ago.
I did notice that.
You just got under the wire.
Yes. And, you know, many people thought that the win against the Russians, which was two nights prior, was the gold medal game. But, in fact, that was not. That was just to get into the medal round.
Right.
And
that was a big game, though. The USSR game was a big game.
That was huge. Now, if you remember correctly, that was on tape delay. That was not even shown live in the United States.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
So
and it was real tape, too.
USA. Yeah. Yep. USA.
And 2 days later, February 24th, 1980, in Lake Placid, New York, the USA beat Finland to take the gold.
It was real tape.
Pretty cool.
I noticed that, Sean.
It was analog tape.
Yeah, that was real tape.
It was real tape.
They used the Ampex 417 recording machine.
It was the quad videotape with the 2-inch.
Oh, it was 2-inch, not 1-inch.
Yeah,
okay.
2-inch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Probably rolling at 15 IPS.
Yeah, yeah, the iris refracted to 7.4 milliliters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Dual capstan drive on the...
Such a dork. That's why we love you.
Oh, exactly right. That was pretty cool.
I should have not said a word.
Listening to that, by the way, gave me goosebumps again. Just listening to that cut.
Me
today.
Too. So, that was cool.
Pretty good stuff.
Maybe it was film.
No, it wasn't film.
Okay.
Kinescope? Is that what you're saying?
It was not 8mm or anything like that.
Yeah. It was on the Kodak. Mm-hmm. 7.42.
You took it to the local photo mat to get done, right?
I was just thinking about that the other day. Uh-huh. How funny that, like, everybody takes instant pictures of everything right now. And that it used to be that you would take pictures, go to the drugstore or photo mat.
Yeah.
But, you know, you were Highline if you went to the photo mat and got your pictures back in an hour. But most people went to Walgreens and left their film.
You'd have to wait a week.
Like wait a whole week to get your pictures back. Right.
You know, the best thing about the photo mat in my town was that it was right near a corner where I would catch the bus for high school. So whenever it was raining or it was inclement weather, we would hide underneath the awning of the photo mat, which wasn't open at that point. Yeah. So, you know, it kept me dry.
Yeah, basically a little kiosk.
Yeah, it was great. A little drive-through thing, right? Yeah.
Okay. Oh, those were the days.
As we wax poetic here.
Youth.
Uh-huh. On the home of the Blackhawks, the Northwestern Wildcats, Photomat, and White Sox Baseball, Andy Mazur, WGN Sports. Thank you. I deserve that one.
I knew that was going to happen.
WGN Traffic, our expressways.
No, I like that we have the 40-year rule now, and all of us completely ignore it.
Yeah, because we like to hear the sound effect.
That we're just seeing if we can set the thing off.
Yeah, well, the intent of the 40-year rule was not to see if you could set it off. The intent was to stop talking about prehistoric history.
If it is prehistoric, it is not history.
I think we're going to have to go with our original plan, electroshock therapy,
every time
you break the rule.
That could definitely work.
Let's see which one of us can go, yeah.
My bet's on you, Shawnee.
All bets are off now. WGN traffic, expressways, tollways moving very well. We still have a problem with downed power lines in Bartlett, however. West Bartlett Road between Amherst Drive and Oakwood Lane still closed. And for construction crane work, with this wind going on, Randolph from Michigan to Garland Court is closed until midnight tonight for all of that work. And Dean Dean, Andy, even with all of this wind going on.
You think they really couldn't do anything outside at all?
Not a thing.
Because the thing, not one possible thing could go on in this high wind that we have outside today.
Well, you are incorrect, my friend.
Camel breath.
Displays between Roosevelt and Harrison closed for the Maxwell Street Market today, despite all of the wind.
That's right.
Wow.
I hold in my hand the last envelope.
Yeah.
For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. It's approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago with a forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. A high wind warning all day today, mostly cloudy. Winds up to 40 miles an hour, gusting up to 60 miles an hour. Temperatures for a high in the mid-30s today and then falling as the day goes on. Very windy, cold tonight. Lows around 5 to 10 above, wind chills down to 15 below. And for tomorrow, some sun in the morning and then clouds gathering. Remaining cold, high of only 20 tomorrow. O'Hare 31, Midway 32, Oak Lawn also 32, Chicago's Lakefront 32. And the winds are west at 26, gusting to 47 now at O'Hare. I'm Dave Schwann in the WGN Newsroom, ready to join the conversation whenever a story changes on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
We will rock you.
This is how I'm predicting the Oscars will open today.
We will rock you.
This is the song I believe that they will. Maybe they'll do Bohemian Rhapsody because that's the name of the movie. This just seems like you want to get that Oscar audience off their feet to start the show. Forget that there's no host.
Yeah.
And have them all singing this. Adam Lambert and the surviving members of Queen will all be performing at the Oscars tonight. Starts at 7 o'clock tonight on Channel 7. All the red carpet stuff starts, depending on what channel, like 4 or 5 o'clock on some of the cable channels. We'll cover it all. We'll have full recaps tomorrow morning on Steve Cochran's show and, of course, on the WGN-TV morning news as well. But back to our photo mat conversation that we were having a moment ago.
Yeah.
And how we used to develop pictures. What's that mean, Uncle Dean, develop pictures? What does that mean? Boys and girls, in the days before you had your iPhones and could take pictures of everything, and I do mean everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure. We had these little things called cameras, and inside of them were film, and the image was recorded on the film, and then you would take it someplace
to a piece of plastic called a negative.
A negative that would have to go to some facility to be developed, so you could actually see the photos. Many days. Sometimes, you know, when it got fancy, hours later, it was these photo mat booths that Andy was just talking about.
Yeah.
We got a text in here from the 219 area code. I'm a former photo mate. Former photo mat employee, a photo mate. And it says here, wow, the stories I could tell. Yes,
sure.
We looked at everyone's pictures.
I knew.
Just like Robin Williams in 1 hour photo.
Right?
Ooh.
I can only imagine. I mean, back in the day, what people were taking pictures of and, you know, taking to Walgreens or photo mat or wherever. Somebody texted. We've touched on a nerve with this. The text line's gone crazy. Here's one that said, my favorite was Scrudland. Remember Scrudland? That was a photo place where you would take. That was a big chain.
Scrudland?
A photo. You bought cameras there. You bought photographic stuff, you know, all that stuff. Yeah. Here's someone. I did this many times. 630 area code. You take all your you get all your photos back and realize that you left the lens cap on your camera.
Oh, that's not good.
I did that many times. Where you're taking, you know, what you think are beautiful photos. You take the film, you can't wait to get it back, and you get the pictures back. Nothing. Nothing's there.
Or someone's head is cut off.
Somebody's head is out of focus.
Or the flash cube, it didn't fire.
Flash cube.
Those were cool.
The flash cube.
Those were cool.
Isn't that amazing how just where we are now?
Yep.
How we've progressed and how everything has changed.
What was your first camera? Mine was a Kodak Instamatic 104.
I have no idea.
You don't remember.
I want to say Brownie. Was there a camera called
yes,
the Brownie?
For decades.
Brownie Instamatic, I want to say.
Yeah.
I know I had one of those cameras. Was it called the Instamatic with the cube on it, Andy?
I think
yes.
So, yeah.
Yes, with the flash cubes that went around. There were four bulbs.
I had one of those.
Four bulbs.
And you could take four in succession, and then you changed out the cube for
a new cube.
When I started college, Andy still does this. Andy is wonderful. No, I'm saying this as a complete compliment.
Yeah.
When I went to college, I bought all the professional photo stuff because I took photography classes, and I bought 35mm cameras and all the accessories and everything that you needed. Andy is an amazing photographer with real camera.
Yes, he is.
I'm sure you take nice pictures with your iPhone also, but Andy's the real deal, like an actual photographer. But back in the day, you had to carry around all this equipment.
It was a lot of stuff.
To take photos with.
You should have seen the lenses on the boats for the Mackinac race.
Oh,
some of those big photographers
zoom lenses
come in.
Yeah,
oh,
right.
Oh,
1200.
Huge. Yes.
I still have all mine. If anyone's interested, I'll be at Maxwell Street. Selling all my photo that I'm sure I've spent thousands of dollars on. Yeah. I'll sell for like $10 now. So. All right, let's get caught up with this weather because it's a potentially dangerous morning. Meteorologist Mike Hamernick is keeping an eye on everything this morning. Mike, are we still looking at these dangerous winds that you've been talking about for a while now?
Yeah, they're going to continue all day long. They're not going to let up much. In fact, we had a big burst of wind come through around 5 or 6 this morning. Then they backed off a bit, and now they're starting to ramp up again. We're getting wind gusts over 60 miles per hour once again on our WeatherBug network. The top wind gusts so far today, the winner or loser, depending on your point of view, is Michigan City, the lighthouse there, 70 mile per hour wind gusts. Measured just before 6 o'clock this morning. But in just the last hour, we've had 60-mile-per-hour gusts recorded in Aurora, also in Shorewood. So these winds are going to continue, all wrapping around a massive and a very impressive storm system that's now in the UP of Michigan. That's the reason for all this wind here in Chicago. And, in fact, it's interesting. This low pressure is going to bottom out at levels that sunk the Edmund Fitzgerald. You remember that's a storm back in 1975?
Legend lives on from the Chippewa on down.
The pressure is going to be actually lower with this storm later on today than the storm that sank the Edmund Fitzgerald. So it's kind of a rare storm system to get this much wind. We've only had a couple of these in this decade. When the low pressure gets this strong and we get this widespread of a massive wind field. And so far, we've fared pretty well, Dean. I was checking the power outages, and Ohio and Indiana have been hit the hardest with about 100,000 outages there. But here in Illinois, only 13,000 outages, 7,000 of which are from ComEd. So that's not bad considering how strong these winds have been, but those numbers will likely grow as the day wears on. And cold air wrapping in behind it, too. We were in the 50s last night, overnight. You probably missed it if you were sleeping.
No, you know what? I was actually out last night.
Were you?
I thought the thermometer, that pops up on your dashboard.
Right, right.
I thought this has got to be broken. There's no way it's 50 degrees outside.
Yeah, we made
it. And then I rolled down the window. It's like, it's about 50 degrees outside.
Yeah, we had a little taste of spring. It only lasted a couple of hours, but for a while there, we were up around 50, 52, 50. And then, boom, the front hit, the winds hit, and temperatures have been falling ever since. And they'll continue to fall by later on this evening. We'll be in the teens. So for today, if you look at the Daily Almanac, we're going to go from the 50s for a high, for teens for a low tonight, and single digits by morning. So quite a change on the way. So it's not going to be real pretty out there, but it could be a lot worse. An all-out blizzard right now is raging across Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin, and Michigan, northern Michigan, because they've got a foot of snow on the ground. In addition to these winds, and you can imagine what that's like, I-90 in Minnesota is still closed at this hour. They're not letting anybody through. So we actually got off a little bit lucky here with this storm. It was a lot worse to our south and to our north.
I keep saying to myself, it's almost March 1st. It's almost March 1st.
Right, right.
And isn't it meteorological spring starts this week?
March 1st on Friday. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it doesn't look like the weather's going to cooperate with that, with meteorological spring, because we got another couple of weeks of kind of winter-like weather coming up. I wish I could add better news in the short term for you. There is good news in the long term, though, as we head into, we're getting some pretty solid signals now off our climate models that go way out. You know, nothing real specific, but a nice little warm-up, it looks like, for the third week in March. We're talking above normal temperatures, and by then the normal's in the 40s. So we're talking maybe a stretch of 50-degree days, maybe up around 60 for a day or two.
Nice.
For the third week of March. So and that would be closer to, you know, the astronomical spring. So it's not just a calendar we're looking at. We're getting some solid signs, you know, science, the meteorologically, that we'll see a big pattern change finally in the third week of March. So hang in there until
then.
That's
what I'm holding out for. I can't wait.
Until then, yeah, it's not looking good. It's cold for the next 2 weeks and next week, and we may be looking at yet another strong storm system.
We'll make it through somehow. So did you see your dad on our Bozo special last week?
I did. That was a great job, Dean, and everybody that worked on it. Enjoyed it so much. A lot of laughs, a lot of memories.
Bozo Circus, the 1960s, that was on, first run was last week. Today it'll be repeated at 12 noon on WGN-TV. If you've got friends and family anywhere in the world, they can watch the live stream, WGNTV.com/live. Or on our WGN-TV app, but we took the best of what exists from footage from the Bozo Show from the 1960s, digitally remastered it, so it's nice and crystal clear. You get to see some of those funny circus acts.
Yeah.
Weren't those hilarious?
They were.
Some of those circus acts, but you saw Bob Bell and Ray Rayner and Don Sandberg and all the originals from the show, Ringmaster Ned, Bob Trendler, but also, if you watch the repeat again today, Mike's dad was the drummer in the Big Top Band, and you see him in his Big Top Band uniform.
Yep, yep.
But when I'm looking at him, I'm like, wow, you look just like your dad.
Yeah, and a lot of people say that. Yeah, especially now that I've grown a little bit older, the resemblance, including the little bald spot, you know.
It's okay. You know, my little bald spot's gotten to be quite a big bald spot, so what are you going to do? But, you know, it's nice for you to have that family tie into the old Bozo Show.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I never in my wildest dreams thought I'd end up back here at WGN.
But, how about that?
Yeah, back in the family. And what a family it is. It's just as close and just as great as it was back then.
And just as dysfunctional as most families, too.
I'm very lucky.
The repeat is today at noon on WGN-TV. After the news, A-list Oscar nominees. My one-on-one conversation with some of the folks who may win Academy Awards tonight. Coming up after a check of WGN News, sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems, here's Dave Schwanton.
R. Kelly remains held on $1 million bond after being charged with sexually abusing four people, including three minors. He must post $100,000 to be released. His attorney continues to put together the money. Vatican is announcing a new child protection policy after the abuse summit has ended today. Pope Francis has closed out his summit on preventing clergy sex abuse. He vows to confront abusers with the wrath of God and end cover-ups by their superiors in prioritizing the victims of what he called the brazen, aggressive, and destructive evil. All things moving again on the Bishop Ford Dan Ryan this morning. After a shooting there early this morning, shots were fired at a car headed inbound on the Bishop Ford near 96th Street. The driver who was fired at had three passengers in the car, but no one was injured. Sports, traffic, and weather next on WGN. WGN Sports, Andy Mazur.
Patrick Kane's going to try to extend his point streak to 21 straight games. That's when the Hawks host the Stars at the UC this afternoon. Dallas, one of the teams the Blackhawks are chasing in the Western Conference playoff race. Stars and the Avalanche hold the two wildcard spots right now, each with 65 points. That is four more than the Blackhawks. Chris Bowden will have your pregame at 1:30. John and Troy have the call at 2 right here on WGN and WGNradio.com. I will lead you up to Blackhawks pregame starting at 1 o'clock as well. Off day for the Bulls, who get the East-leading Bucks tomorrow night at the United Center. Bulls will come into that game on their first three-game winning streak of the season. College basketball today, Michigan hosting Michigan State. Loyola will be at Southern Illinois. Illinois State hosting Drake and UIC home against Milwaukee. White Sox will take on the Padres in Peoria this afternoon. The White Sox have also agreed to a minor league deal with pitcher Irvin Santana. Cubs will be in Scottsdale today taking on the Giants. And the World Golf Championships in Mexico, Dustin Johnson carrying a four-shot lead into the final round over Rory McIlroy. On the home of the Blackhawks, Northwestern Wildcats, and White Sox baseball, Andy Mazur, WGN Sports.
WGN traffic, we have an overturned semi on I-57, a blockage there on 57 southbound. eastbound between Manhattan Monee Road and Wilmington Piatone Road. Once again, on I-57, southbound, the overturned truck after Piatone Road. In Bartlett, still a problem with down power cables, closing West Bartlett Road between Amherst Drive and Oakwood Lane. And speaking of closures, downtown Chicago, Randolph from Michigan to Garland Court is closed because of construction crane work. That'll be closed until midnight tonight. And in the Beverly area on the south side, 99th in both directions between Damon and Longwood, closed because of underground cable installation. For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. It's approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. The forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. The high wind warning continuing. Very high winds up to 40 miles an hour, gusting to 60 miles an hour in places. Mostly cloudy for the day. A high in the mid-30s. Temperatures will be falling later this afternoon. Very windy, cold overnight. Lows around 5 to 10 above, with wind chills down to 15 below. And for Monday, sun in the morning, then increasing cloudiness, and a high of only 20. 29 now at O'Hare, 30 at Midway. Addison has 29, Chicago's Lakefront 30. I'm Dave Schwann in the WGN Radio Newsroom, and these are the stories that matter on 720 WGN.
Here we come, walk down the street. We get the funniest looks from everyone we meet. Hey, hey, we're the monkeys.
Such sad news this week. The death of Peter Tork of the Monkees. 77 years old. Died of lung cancer was the report that I had heard on that. Who was my favorite monkey?
Peter Tork was?
Peter Tork was my favorite monkey.
There's only two left now, I think.
Mickey Dolenz and Mike Nesmith.
And Mike Nesmith, yeah.
Mike Nesmith. They... Yeah, this was a big deal when the show first came on. It was much-watched TV and has played in reruns forever. Andy, I'll bet you watch these in reruns.
All the time after school.
Yeah. Your favorite monkey?
Mickey.
Mickey was.
Yeah, I like the drummer.
Like the drummer. I like that they were a little nutty.
Yeah, it was a little bit of an irreverent show even for that time.
Yeah, and maybe, I mean, this was all before MTV, before music videos.
Mm-hmm.
Where they were taking their music and setting video to it. I mean, I think it's fair to say that they sort of pioneered music video. You know, video go along with their songs.
And they were always goofy.
Always nutty.
Sped up. The video was always sped up a little bit, right?
Yep. That's why I like Peter, because he seemed to be the goofiest of them all. I think that's the reason. And as we had mentioned, in 2 weeks we're going to be at Presidential Towers. We're going to be doing this show live at Presidential Towers. And one of the things we're asking you, what should we do? You know, what can we do to entertain you when we're out there? And people have been coming up with all kinds of crazy ideas of stuff for us to do. But I think in honor of Peter Tork and the Monkees, that we ought to, all of us, we ought to, you know, do that famous monkey's walk.
Yeah. That's
you know
a good
what
walk.
I'm talking about?
Yeah, kind of walking.
Kind of like a synchronized.
Yeah, to the right leg goes left, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Schwanny, you into this at all?
Either that or at my age, the baby elephant walk. One of the two.
What?
You don't know that. We ought to sing our...
Do you mean the Henry Mancini song?
Yes.
Baby Elephant.
The Baby Elephant walk.
Beep.
Toot-toot. Deep.
You can do that if you want.
But I'm looking at some immaterial on the Monkees. They actually, for a while, were outselling the Beatles.
Yeah.
They were a very, very popular group. And we should pick a favorite Monkees song and try to do a cover version of it.
That we should record it?
Yeah. We should do a cover version.
Oh, like we're the new Monkees.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah. Last Train to Clarksville. I'm a Believer.
Monkees 2019. I'm going to be the one
that wears
the hat.
Everybody knows this is Mo, Larry, and Curly. So, it's we could come up with something else here.
So what would be I'm a Believer?
I'm a Believer.
That's their biggest, probably their biggest song.
Last Train to Clarksville.
Last Train to Clarksville. That's a good one. Pleasant Valley Sunday.
Daydream Believer.
Do you know that video of Daydream Believer? I mention this every time this comes up, but that video with the multicolored background, does that ring a bell with anyone?
Yeah.
That was shot here in Chicago.
Oh, really?
At the studio that became Harpo Studios.
Oh, okay.
At the time, it was a television production studio where they did commercials. And race riots were going on. The Monkees were in, I don't know if they were in Milwaukee. They were somewhere near Chicago. They weren't in Chicago, but they were near it. And there were race riots going on, and they had to record this video. So they said, well, send them to Chicago, and they can do it there. So that video that you see of Daydream Believer was shot here in Chicago last minute.
Huh. I didn't know that.
That's my little Monkees trivia for you this morning. All right. Well, we'll perform a Monkees song for you then.
See what we can come up with.
So what's some of their other songs? Pleasant Valley Sunday?
Pleasant Valley Sunday. How about Sunday. Words? Remember Words?
Don't remember Words.
You don't remember Words? That was on the other side of Pleasant Valley Sunday. That was an A-B hit, as they called it back then.
What's the other side mean?
The B-side. Oh, yeah. What's the other side mean?
What's a 45, Uncle Dave? Uncle Schwanee, what's
that? And an A-B hit also, I'm a Believer and I'm Not Your Stepping Stone.
I do remember Stepping Stone.
Yeah.
I remember dancing up a storm back in the high school gym. What a dork. In my first bell bottoms I ever owned. What a dork. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Oscar A-list interviews with some of the people who are nominated for Oscars tonight. We talked to them along the interview trail. We'll share some of those with you next on WGN.
Why do you have a sword, Ben?
Kneel before me, faithful servant.
Okay.
I knight thee, Sir Arvid the Magnificent.
What? Mamma mia, let me
go. 10:48, Dean Richards, Sunday morning. WGN. Tomorrow on the WGN TV Morning News, I will be recapping the Oscars. I am hoping that this will be one of the highlights. Adam Lambert and Brian May and Roger Taylor of the original Queen will be performing tonight. I'm predicting that they're going to open the show in place of a host monologue. We'll see. But I'm really looking forward to that. I'm hoping that Rami Malek, maybe on the cast of the movie, also gets up on stage with Queen and Adam Lambert. You know, since their movie is going to be honored tonight, I believe that Rami Malek will win Best Actor. We'll break down all the predictions coming up in the next half hour with critics Pamela Powell and also Patrick McDonald. They'll be here in studio with us. Oh, and film aficionado Tom Hush also will be joining us. He's got some good thoughts about what may happen at the Oscars today. You may recall when the movie opened, I flew over the big pond to London, and that's where I sat down with the cast of Bohemian Rhapsody. Gwilyn Lee, Ben Hardy, Joe Mazzullo, and as Freddie Mercury, the great Rami Malek.
We all had a pretty drastic transformation in this film. And what was helpful, I think, was knowing we had to emulate them step for step, move for move in the Live Aid sequence at the end. So we got our physicality thrown in there quite quickly. We had a movement teacher named Polly Bennett who helped all of us immensely throughout. But there was so much time, I think, collectively watching all the archival footage and picking things up left and right that we just kept in our back pocket.
Yeah. Do you, Rami, in particular, did you study his movement, his speech patterns? Because it's uncanny. I was a music DJ then.
Yeah.
And played all of his hits and remember the nothing more than 3 minute rule that they had back then. I was also, you know, sort of in the forefront of the AIDS crisis, the darkest days of the AIDS crisis. And this movie is so celebratory, nostalgic, and tragically nostalgic for me in so many ways. But I mean, you must have had to capture all those nuances to make it so perfect.
Well, I really appreciate the way you articulated that, because the film is all of those things. To be quite honest, I fell in love with him. And I think when you fall in love with someone, you just start taking those things on. Somehow, it's almost by osmosis. They seep into you. And he is becomes quite a hero of mine now, even more so now than once I filmed.
Yeah. Guys, do you think so also? I mean, I think this why this movie works so well, it's not just about Freddie and it's not just about the nostalgia, but it's about so much more. It's all good movies have to be. It has to be about so much more. The relationships, the you know, being family and not being family, and acceptance and non-acceptance, don't you think? I'll just go down the line. And
yeah, I think it's about belonging. It's about finding your people, I think. And they found it amongst themselves, the four of them, as a band. But I think also that's what they give to their audience, is that sense of belonging, that sense of having a place and being able to celebrate who you are as an individual.
Yeah, I'll just go down the line to Ben.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, I've got everybody right.
That's all right.
Yeah, the same?
Sure, yeah. I think family is definitely an important theme within this movie, you know, seeing what it takes for a band to have been so successful and make such great music for such a long period of time and still kind of stay together throughout the many fights, the many squabbles, the many, you know, all of that stuff. So I think it's definitely important. And, you know, the audience becomes Queen's extended family, you know, like Freddie was including everyone in the auditorium. So, yeah, I think family's definitely an important theme in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you see in the Another One Bites the Dust sequence how that scene sort of starts with them fighting and almost coming to blows, and then a cool riff or something musical sort of stops them and brings them back together. And you sort of see how, like, they always would come back to that. They would always remember that there was something bigger, right? That any of the little squabbles, they'll fall out, they'll not want to see each other for a little while, but they'll get over it. And because they know that what they had was so special together that they never wanted to give that up.
Yeah, I think Rami is going to win the Oscar tonight, but also nominated for Best Actor is Christian Bale, playing former Vice President Dick Cheney. We also sat down with Christian Bale.
No, I think it's really something, you know, quite special. It was a wonderful team of people that got together to make this, and I've been so surprised. I was there every day, but in seeing the final result, you know, from Adam and Hank, the editor, going away and working on this for months, it's a profound film. It's also an absurd film.
Yeah.
And it manages to pack so much information, but I get so emotional watching this film.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm going insane watching it because I'm laughing like crazy. I'm crying with laughter, then I'm crying out of sadness. I find it sad.
Yeah.
I look at the Cheney family and I feel real sadness for them. And then you also see the horrendous tragedies and deaths from the Iraq War. And
right.
It keeps you on your toes, yeah, from beginning to end. But with Adam's ability to without trivializing any tragedy, to also bring this humor,
yeah,
to it.
That level of lightness is what really,
yeah,
I think, got to me. And apparently got
you need
to,
it. You need it, or else it's too much.
Otherwise, it can be depressing.
Yeah.
But and apparently reflected in the Golden Globe nominations this week. Were you surprised? I mean, I'm sure you must have had confidence at the
category.
The category, but getting the most nominations of any movie this year at the Golden Globe.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, look, it's pretty much the only film I've seen, so yeah, I'd give it everything. But that's just because it's the only one. Because I'm a dad, and I just watch my kids want to watch, and usually there's like 15 minutes or something, and then
moving on to something else.
So, that's incredibly complimentary and wonderful.
I mean, it's just across the board, all these nominations are
incredibly appreciative of that.
Yeah. What's the Dick Cheney fascination? What is it about the core of him that you found so interesting to portray?
I think that there are many commendable attributes within a man who, for many, is considered a villain. No villain is ever solely that. Everybody has good character traits, bad as well. You know, nobody's a complete saint either. He is a very brilliant man, a real technocrat, understands the machinery of government. I think if he was in the current White House, that would truly be dangerous because he would absolutely know how to get everything done.
There's Christian Bale talking about his movie Vice, which is also nominated for Best Picture tonight. Adam McKay, who he references, is nominated for Best Director tonight. Christian Bale is nominated. Amy Adams is nominated from that movie. There are lots of nominations for that film. We'll see what happens tonight when the Academy Awards are given out. We'll take a quick break. When we come back after, we will have a little critics panel here. Film critics Patrick McDonald of HollywoodChicago.com, Pamela Powell from The Daily Journal, and also Fet Lifestyle Magazine, who's been on the show with us here before, and I, and producer Tom Hush, who's quite the movie fan. We'll all talk about our Oscar picks and what we think will happen tonight. That's all coming up next, WGN. I was just checking my Gmail account here, Schwani.
Yes.
And you know how sometimes when you go on your Gmail account, it tells you, you know, and it, is that you trying to get into the account? It sends you an email.
Right.
I have not been trying to get into my Gmail account. And it says that the location of somebody trying to get into my Gmail account, Moscow, Russia.
Oh, nice.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, well, well. So do you think there may be some collusion?
Well, I hope they enjoy the recipes that I have posted there. Because that's about the most incriminating thing that I have there. How do you say good morning in Russian? Anybody know?
I have no idea.
I do not know Russian. I know...
Yeah, quit trying to pretend like you don't know anything about Russia.
I know nothing!
We're told that goodbye is dos vidanya.
Dos vidanya. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So my bank accounts, dos vidanya. My private credit history, dos vidanya.
To it all.
Hear everyone's favorite weatherman, Tom Skilling, weekday afternoons at 4 o'clock on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantes, 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users say play WGN radio on TuneIn. News is sponsored by Architect. Here is Dave Schwann.
Cloudy and windy, 29 at O'Hare. The wind's gusting up to 49 miles an hour because of a high wind warning. We'll have the full forecast in a moment. R. Kelly remaining in jail after failing to post a $100,000 bond. He turned himself in Friday night and was charged with four counts of criminal sexual abuse. More from WGN-TV's Courtney Guzman.
After hearing the account, Cook County Judge John Like said the allegations were disturbing and eventually set bond at $1 million. The judge also set a few stipulations to Kelly's bond. Kelly must surrender his passport. He's not to have contact with anyone under 18, and he's also not to have any contact with the victims or witnesses involved in this case.
R. Kelly's attorney, Stephen Greenberg, says his client's finances are in bad shape. He owes over $160,000 in child support and is behind in the rent on his recording studio and his condo in Trump Tower. No arrests yet after a shooting that took place early this morning on the Dan Ryan-Bishop Ford merge. This happening around 4:30 near 96th Street. Police say shots were fired at a car headed inbound on the Bishop Ford. The driver had three passengers inside. No one was injured. A flight bound for Dubai from Bangladesh's capital, Dhaka, has made an emergency landing in Chittagong, Bangladesh, after a man attempted to hijack the plane. Authorities say the suspect, a Bangladeshi, asked to speak to the country's prime minister before dying from injuries in an exchange of gunfire with military commandos. Eastern Kentucky authorities say counties are declaring emergencies because of heavy flooding and mudslides. McCoffin County issued a declaration late Saturday asking residents to stay off the roads unless an emergency is requiring them to do so. Those same storms spawned a tornado that hit Columbus, Mississippi, and one person died as a result of that tornado there last night. An old investigation has been reopened by Chicago police. Here's WGN's Roger Battish.
It's been nearly a year and a half since Jerome Red Russell died in a shooting on Chicago's South Side. Detectives have issued a renewed call for information about who might have shot the handgun that killed the 22-year-old in the South Chicago neighborhood. Police have information that another person had been with Russell when he was shot. Roger Battish, WGN News.
And as we anticipate the Academy Awards this evening, a giant of the Hollywood musical has passed away. Here's ABC's Dave Schreiber.
I'm singing in the rain. Just singing in the rain.
Direct.
director Stanley Donen, known for Singing in the Rain and Funny Face, has died at age 94. Donen often teamed with Gene Kelly, but also worked with Cary Grant, Frank Sinatra, and Fred Astaire. His sons confirmed on Saturday that he died Thursday in New York from heart failure. Steven Spielberg called him a friend, an early mentor, for whom life and film were inseparable. Dave Schreiber, ABC News.
I'm glad you ran that, because I was going to talk about that later on.
Yeah, yeah.
Genius, a genius, yeah. Landmark genius.
And, you know, the... Of course, when you hear Singing in the Rain with Gene Kelly, you can't help but envision the whole scene there.
Dance in the street.
Dancing, yeah.
It makes me, I run out and I'm dancing in puddles when I hear it.
Yeah, there was no high wind when they shot that scene. No, just a lot of rain.
There was not. It was just
so he could hold the umbrella and it wasn't going to go inside
rain.
Out. Right. But how ironic for him to pass away here the weekend
on Oscars.
Of the Oscars.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure they're going to add him to the memorial site.
Have a tribute.
Or tribute.
They should. Yeah. And how about the people he worked with, as you heard Dave in his report? Cary Grant, Frank Sinatra, Fred Astaire.
Yeah, too bad there weren't any big names.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's Hollywood. WGN Sports, Andy Mazur.
All right, so it's Oscar Sunday, so I figured I would pay a little tribute to the Oscars during the sportscast here. We'll see what we can come up with. And, again, don't try this at home. Back to the ice today for the, no, not the Black Panthers, not the Black Klansmen. It's the Blackhawks. They're going to face the Dallas Stars Is Born at the United Center. Right now, the Hawks are 4 points out of the final playoff spot in the Western Conference. That's because the Stars and Avalanche have a vice grip on the playoffs right now.
There's another one.
Chris Bowden has your pregame show starting at 1:30. John and Troy have the call at 2 on WGN at WGNradio.com. I'm not done yet. The favorite to win the NBA's Eastern Conference, not the Bulls. It's their opponent tomorrow night at the UC. That will be the Milwaukee Bucks when they come to town. Bulls have their first three-game win streak of the season after a 126-116 win over the Celtics last night. Baseball in the desert.
There's another one.
I'm dying to see how it's going to work in Bohemian Rhapsody.
I forgot this one. Hey, by the way, Zach LaVine had 42 points last night, a career high, channeling his inner basketball Hall of Famer, Oscar Robertson, when he was doing that.
Baseball. Would you say a star was born in that game?
Could be. Baseball in the desert today for both Chicago teams. And you know, when it comes to baseball, any way the wind blows doesn't really matter to me. I'm not sure where I've heard that before. Oh, yeah, that's Bohemian Rhapsody. Anyway, the White Sox face the Padres in Peoria, and the Cubs are in Scottsdale against the Giants. College basketball today as we roam around the Midwest. Michigan hosting Michigan State. Loyola is at Southern Illinois. Illinois State hosting Drake. UIC home against Milwaukee. Now, if you notice, I have one left at the PGA's World Championship event in Mexico.
Would that one be your favorite?
Well, no. My favorite was...
That's a movie title also.
Yeah, well, I got that one in there. The favorite to win the NBA Eastern Conference is not the Bulls.
I just wanted to make sure.
The leaders will be putting around before the final round starts. They're going to be studying their green books with their caddies before getting out on the course today. Dustin Johnson, a four-shot lead over Rory McIlroy.
That was one of my favorite movies this year, by the way, Rory McIlroy.
Rory McIlroy, yes.
I loved that one. It's a documentary.
That just missed the
cut.
About
the Supreme Court Justice Rory McIlroy. Remember that?
Uh-huh. That'll be the third installment of the Mary Poppins series. Mary Poppins meets Rory McIlroy. Okay, I got them
Andy
all in
Mazur.
There. Thank
Andy
you very much.
Mazur.
That was brilliant.
Nice job.
I challenged myself. You know, I know that it's a big night for the Super Bowl of entertainment, right?
Well, yeah, sort of. Yeah.
So there you go.
Let's see you be that clever Schwanny.
Yeah. That's a tough act to follow.
Let's see you do that with the traffic now.
I've set the bar medium height. Not real high, but medium height.
On this all morning.
Yeah, I did.
So
I had to wait till 11 because I needed some time to work in some of these really reaching puns.
These are excellent ones, though.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
it. When Schwanny does the traffic, it'll be a quiet place.
Mm-hmm. That's very good. Very, very good.
I'll be the first man. Traffic.
Nice.
Okay. I think we have now gone one step too far.
Let me get out of here. On the home of the Blackhawks, the Northwestern Wildcats, and White Sox baseball, Andy Mazur, WGN Sports.
And speaking of WGN traffic, still a problem on I-57, an overturned truck. This is southbound between Manhattan and Monee Road and Wilmington Peotone Road, an overturned truck there blocking
traffic. Is that related to the wind?
Oh, most likely. Yeah. Most likely it would be on 57, and that is pretty far south-southwest of the city. Most likely the wind did play a part in this. I'm surprised I haven't seen anything else from northern Indiana, frankly.
I'm surprised we haven't had more power lines. I mean, there are some power lines.
There have
down,
been some all morning.
I thought that's all we would be talking about
power lines down.
And tree branches and all that with the high winds.
Yeah, no, but we have had some. And incidentally, the only power outage or problem with down lines, I should say specifically, is still in Bartlett. West Bartlett Road between Amherst Drive and Oakwood Lane, still closed because of fallen power cables. On the south side, utility cable installation being installed on Beverly between, that is closing 99th, both directions between Damon and Longwood Drive. And closed for construction crane work, Randolph from Michigan Avenue to Garland Court, despite all of the wind that we're having today. Finally, on the Stevenson,
that has to go down. I don't care what else happens in Sunday morning traffic. That has to go down as the decision of the year to do crane work crane on a morning when the winds are 70 miles an hour. Genius. Whoever decided that, genius.
We'll be watching. In fact, I'm going to go down the hall here, and we can probably see where that crane is from our view here.
Well, when it lets loose and flies by our window, let me know so I can duck.
I will. And finally, on the Stevenson, stop-and-go traffic inbound between Pulaski and Western because of an accident in the two right lanes. So we have a 42-minute trip now inbound on the Stevenson from 355 on into Lakeshore Drive. And for personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app, approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. The forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. High wind warning continuing today. Mostly cloudy. A high in the mid-30s, and then temperatures will fall later in the day. Very windy, cold overnight. Lows around 5 to 10 above, with wind chills down to 15 below. For tomorrow, morning sunshine, then clouds gathering in the afternoon. Cold temperatures remaining, high of only 20 for tomorrow. 29 at O'Hare, Midway has 30, Roselle 29, Chicago's lakefront 30 degrees.
A long newscast, Tawny.
Well,
I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying that that newscast was the Academy Award show of newscasts.
And that is why a star is born. I'm Dave Schwann in the WGN Radio Newsroom.
Thanks for reminding me. I'm going to do that next hour. If he goes long, the music's going to play him off. Good idea.
Ready to join the conversation whenever a story changes on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It's that night. Academy Awards, 91st Academy Awards are tonight. Hollywood. Find out which will win Best Picture. Black Panther, Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, Favorite, Green Book, Roma, A Star is Born, or Vice. We'll go down the nominees. We'll go through our picks with a couple of film critics that I really like here in the Chicago area. They are Pamela Powell, who's with the Daily Journal, Pet Lifestyle Magazine, FF2 Media, and WCIA3. You are the busiest person in the universe, especially this time of year.
This time of year is kind of crazy, but it's fun. It's movies. It's great.
It's got a lot of fun. Nice to have you back here,
Thanks
Pamela.
For having Thank me back. You. I appreciate it.
And great to have with us for the first time here on the show, Patrick McDonald, who is Uber critic with HollywoodChicago.com. Very nice to have you here
you.
With us as
Thank
well.
Thank you, sir.
Are we all excited?
Unbelievably.
Are we just glad it's Oscar Day and we'll be over in 24 hours?
There's that, too.
Yeah.
It certainly changed before as just a film buff, you know, before I became a professional.
An Uber critic.
Yeah. You had big parties every year, right. The big thing.
Same.
And now it's just like the end of 2018. Right. Right.
I don't let anybody in my house. People go, hey, you know, let's watch the Oscars. No, like, nope.
No.
I have to have complete quiet.
4 hours.
Right. Do not interrupt me.
I have to take notes. I have to pay attention to what's going on. I can't have people around me. That's the same thing.
I think the cool thing this year, though, is I think it's really unpredictable.
Completely. Do you think, do you all agree that this is one of the most unpredictable years, that all the usual indicators
that we look at are not there this year. I mean, many of the indicators that we look at, the Producers Guild, Directors Guild, Writers Guild,
right,
Golden Globe, Screen Actors Guild, practically all of them had different results this
yes.
year. There was no, there really is not a front runner in the Best Picture category.
There's nothing really to help you this year. You know, like you say, the award season is usually a big indicator. Now, in some cases, it is. But, you know, coming up with the Academy, this could be the first year, especially with all the attention on Oscar because of all the gaffes.
Kevin Hart, and we're going to only do two songs. Now we're going to do five. Now there's only going to be four. You know, like things have changed so much. This is going to be an Oscar show like we haven't seen before.
Exactly.
Dwayne Johnson, I don't know if you realize, Dwayne Johnson was the person who was supposed to host it in the very beginning.
Right.
And then he pulled out for scheduling reasons, and Kevin Hart for what, maybe 2 hours?
Yeah.
And now we're hostless. So I think people are going to watch just because this has been full of snafus, you know, all the way along.
I'm for no host. People are saying, oh, it's not going to be as interesting without host. I think it's going to be fine without a host.
What about the rumor that Whoopi Goldberg is going to
might the last minute be the surprise host because
yeah.
she's been off The View for the past week. But I'm told that she has had that she's been quite sick for the last week. So
yeah.
right.
we don't know if that's true or not. But we do know that Adam Lambert and Queen are going to perform.
Yes.
I think that would make a fantastic open for the show where we would normally see a boring monologue.
Right. right? That would really get the energy going, I think, in the audience
right.
and with the audience watching at home.
Right. I also want to bring in the producer of this show, Tom Hush, who is quite the movie aficionado. Very well spoken, very well thought on films. What's your take on all of this?
I mean, I agree with the whole unpredictability of it. I like to think that I have some sort of ability to say, okay, this is a favorite, this is going to be a likely candidate, but even filling out my ballot, I really had to make some tough decisions and pick one, and there's a lot of movies in here that I very much enjoyed and would like to see people you know, get honored for, get rewarded for, but who knows at this point? I would really love to see Roma get its due, but who knows?
Who knows what the reaction's going to be to that?
Yeah.
Before the show, Tom and I were talking about this, you know, it's a matter of who do you think should win, who do you think will win?
Right. Oftentimes two totally different
right.
things.
And we, Patrick and Pamela and I, were on a panel on the day that the nominations came
yeah.
out, and we said, let the political campaigns begin, and man, did they ever.
And yet we come to this day, and I don't see any change when we were sitting there the first day.
The only thing that I see different from that day is that I don't think A Star Is Born. I thought maybe A Star Is Born, which would have been my favorite.
Right.
It was my favorite film of last year.
Right.
That I thought might have a chance. I don't think it has a chance in hell of winning anything.
No, the momentum
tonight,
went.
Except Best Original Song.
Right,
yeah.
right. The momentum really went down for that one. And I feel like the momentum went down for Green Book as well. I just didn't see as much publicity for that one, as much oomph. So
there was a controversy about that
right.
that came out after the nomination.
With Viggo Mortensen? That?
No, the family of Don Shirley. They published pretty high-line article about the fact that Shirley was not represented correctly in that film. Now, you can say, though, it was the son of the driver.
The character that Mahershala Ali played.
Correct. But the son of the driver wrote the screenplay. So it's hard for me to think, well, the Shirley family should have been involved, and maybe they should have altered some of the things that occurred, especially having to do with the civil rights movement and everything, his participation in it. They said he just wouldn't have been so weak. They made up the thing about his brother, et cetera, et cetera. So.
All right. Well, let's take a break, and we'll come back and talk about some of our predictions. Let's open up the phone lines, 312-981-7200. What do you think will happen tonight? What do you hope will happen tonight? What do you not hope will happen tonight? 312-981-7200. We're talking Oscars.
I'm off the deep end, watch as I dive in. I'll never leave the ground.
Tomorrow on the WGN-TV Morning News, I'll recap the Oscars. Winners, losers, high moments, low moments. As we like to say, I watch it so you don't have to. We'll have all the details for you on that tomorrow. So Lady Gaga will win Best Original Song, but also in the category
of Best Supporting Actor. Sam Elliott is up from A Star Is Born. Let's start with that category. I don't think Sam Elliott's going to win because he's so good and so good in everything that he's in. I would love to see him win an Oscar. Richard E. Grant, Can You Ever Forgive Me, nominated, also amazing. Sam Rockwell was great in Vice, amazing. Adam Driver from Black Klansman, great. And Mahershala Ali, as we were just talking, in Green Book, also great. Who do you all think will win Best Supporting Actor?
I'm going with Mahershala Ali. I think he's won every other award since the beginning of the award season, since it started, and I think he's going to win it, although I would love to see Richard E. Grant win it. He won the Independent Spirit Award last night. I would love to see that, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, how about you, Patrick?
Ali is the same. I think that Grant's been getting, you know, he's kind of been snowballing the last couple of weeks in award season, but I don't think it's enough to displace Ali.
Yeah,
so.
I agree. I think this is an easy one for your Oscar parties tonight. Mahershala Ali will win. And also, I think it's a pretty easy one in the Best Supporting Actress category, where Amy Adams is up for Vice, Marina Di Trevetta for Roma, Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz, both from the movie The Favorite, and Regina King for If Beale Street Could Talk, and I think this one's Regina's to win. Do you all agree with that?
I completely agree. She's gotten them all so far, and I think she's going to continue with her Academy Award, and well-deserved. Her performance is extraordinary as the mother in this film.
It's interesting, too, that this category has the most double nominations, 35 in Oscar history, and 12 came out winners. So the last time was Jessica Chastain and Octavia Spencer for The Help. And, of course, Octavia Spencer won. So, yes, I think Regina King, again, she's snowballed through award season. So I'm going with King as well.
Okay, so let's go to the category of Best Actress. I'm not so sure that this one is as easy to pick. I'm picking Glenn Close for The Wife. But also nominated in this category is Yalitza Aparicio for Roma, Olivia Colman in The Favorite, Lady Gaga for A Star Is Born, and Melissa McCarthy for Can You Ever Forgive Me. Up until the Golden Globes, and Glenn Close gave that amazing acceptance speech, I was hoping that Lady Gaga would win because I just loved that movie so much. But after rewatching The Wife and hearing that speech that she gave, that the whole industry also heard, all the voters for the Academy heard, I think this has got to be Glenn Close. And this has got to be her year because she's been nominated so many times and hasn't won so far.
Right. I don't think there's any question. I think, excuse me, Glenn Close is definitely going to win this. And I love the backstory on this film and how many years it took to get into production and why. And her speech was extraordinary. And voting was still open for the Oscars then. I think a lot of Oscar voters heard that, took that into consideration, and cast their vote. I would be shocked if Glenn Close didn't win this. But this is a great category. I mean, not one weak performer in this category.
Seven times she's been nominated. As a living actor, she has the most nominations without a win. So that factor comes in as well. I'm going with Glenn Close. But I want you to pronounce Yalitza Aparicio again, because your pronunciation was just...
Yalitza Aparicio.
There you go.
You even roll your R's. I'm impressed.
I know. Very, very. Your Spanish teacher from high school will be.
He's very proud.
Yes.
You've given me more than a D then. Tom, what's your take? Tom Hush.
Definitely Glenn Close is my pick, although... I would really love to see something for Olivia Colman. I think there's a little dark horse race for her to get it because her portrayal of Queen Anne in The Favorite is heartbreaking and comedic and insane. And it's so much fun to watch her morph on screen for an actual living figure that existed and turn her into kind of a psycho in a lot of ways, but a one that you just want to keep watching. And I've been a fan of Olivia Colman.
And that you want to hug at the same time. I mean, she's insane and abusive.
Yeah.
Yet it's so empathetic and so warm, and it's such a warm and wonderful portrayal as well. I mean, really, at just about every category this year, there's so many good nominated performances this year.
Well, the big rumor, too, is that Gaga and Close might tie like they did 1968 with Catherine Hepburn.
Didn't they for one of the awards this year
for the
also?
Critics' Choice Awards? Yeah.
Yeah. What about supporting, Tom? Are you going along with Mahershala and Regina King?
I will. Yes,
or do you want to be the outsider? Do you want to be wrong?
No, I am.
Do you want to agree with us, or do you want to be wrong?
I am fully Regina King. He's safe. I am fully Regina King. If Beale Street could talk, her performance is spectacular. I fell in love with it. I'm going to say Sam Elliott for supporting role because never count out the Oscars for giving the makeup Oscar. He's just had too long of a career without and too great of a career without an Oscar win to not get something. And while Mahershala is great in Green Book, I did not love Green Book as much as other people did, but he already got his in a sense. And I'm not saying that this performance isn't great for him, but with winning Moonlight a couple years ago, I could see the Academy members being like, well, Mahershala got his win for supporting, let's give some to Sam, even though this it's a spectacular performance. It might not be considered the definitive performance, but it's the one he could win for.
Interesting. You know, you're talking about Green Book. We'll talk about the Best Picture nominations in a minute. I already said that Star is Born was my favorite. Yet I am picking to win, and I'll give the reasons in a few minutes. I think Green Book might win Best Picture.
Do you really?
Wow.
I think Green Book might win Best Picture tonight, and I've got some reasons for all that. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk more. Patrick McDonald is here from Hollywood.com. Pamela Powell from The Daily Journal. Tom Hush, who's in the other room and is going to be wrong on most of his choices. Coming up next, let's get a quick update of news sponsored by Chicago Crypto Capital. Here's Dave Schwann.
We have a high wind warning continuing throughout the day today. Winds gusting from 40 to 60 miles an hour will be a common occurrence. And WGN meteorologist Mike Hammernick reports gusts of up to 70 miles an hour in Michigan City this morning. We'll have the full forecast in just a moment. R. Kelly remains in jail on $1 million bond after being charged with sexually abusing four people, including three minors. He failed to post $100,000 for his release. His attorney says they are still putting together the money for that bail. One person is dead after a weekend tornado hit Columbus, Mississippi. The mayor's office of Columbus says 41-year-old Ashley Pounds of Tupelo was in a building with three other people that collapsed in the storm Saturday evening. Storms have been moving throughout the area in the southern United States, and flood warnings have been posted in Kentucky and Tennessee. We'll check sports, traffic, and weather next on WGN. WGN Sports, Andy Mazur.
We're a couple hours away from our coverage of Blackhawks hockey here on WGN. The Hawks will host the Dallas Stars this afternoon. Chris Bowden has your pregame at 1:30. John and Troy, the call at 2 o'clock on WGN and WGNradio.com. A couple of notes on the Blackhawks. Brent Seabrook is expected to play today after missing three games with an abdominal strain, and Cam Ward will likely get the start in goal. Patrick Kane also trying to extend his point streak to 21 consecutive games. Hawks have won 10 of their last 13. Three-game win streak for the Bulls for the first time this year. They'll take that into action tomorrow night when East-leading Milwaukee will come to the United Center. College basketball today has Michigan hosting Michigan State. Loyola's at Southern Illinois. Illinois State hosting Drake, and UIC home against Milwaukee. Cactus League baseball today, the White Sox facing on the Padres in Peoria. White Sox also agreed to a minor league deal with pitcher Irvin Santana yesterday. Cubs will play their game in Scottsdale today against the San Francisco Giants. On the home of the Blackhawks, Northwestern Wildcats, and White Sox baseball, Andy Mazur, WGN Sports.
WGN traffic, two overturned vehicles to report. The first on I-57 is stopping traffic now, southbound after Harlem Avenue to past Piatone Road. The left lane blocked there, and traffic very, very slow because of that overturned vehicle. Once again, I-57 southbound after Harlem Avenue. And also in the Utica area near Starved Rock State Park, a roadblock due to an overturned vehicle there, I-39 north, between I-80, the exit 59, and US 52, perhaps related to the high winds that are going to continue throughout the day today and into the evening. And also on the south side of the city, utility work ongoing at 99th Street. 99th closed in both directions between Damon and Longwood Drive. For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. It's approved by the mortgage experts of Team Huckberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. The forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center, that high
high wind warning continuing to 6 o'clock this evening. Mostly cloudy for the day. The winds gusting up to 40 miles an hour and gusts up to 60 miles an hour. Winds on average 30 to 40. And for tonight, colder. Temperatures down into the teens, 5 to 10 above for an overnight low. Wind chills down to 15 below. For Monday, morning sunshine, clouds gathering in the afternoon, and a high of only 20. We have 29 now at O'Hare, 30 at Midway, 29 at Roselle, 30 at Chicago's Lakefront. The winds west at 32 and gusting to 49. I'm Dave Schwann in the WGN Radio Newsroom, and these are the stories that matter on 720 WGN.
Remember this one from back in the day when we were both DJs?
Oh, sure.
Hey, Matt, it's Cornelius Brothers and Sister Rose. Too late to turn back down. Yeah, man, that's when a song was a song, man.
Still, we stepped on the vocals.
Ah, that's okay. We're a little rusty in more ways than one. It's one of the songs from the soundtrack of the movie Black Klansman, Spike Lee's movie. Fantastic soundtrack from this movie. It's such a good movie in so many ways, but the soundtrack, if you grew up in the 70s or have any recollection of it, the songs are just amazing. Which brings us with our guests this morning. How about
speaking
that for
people from the 70s?
How about that for a long-winded introduction, right?
A little segue there.
Our guest Pamela Powell, film critic with the Daily Journal, Fet Lifestyle Magazine, FF2 Media, and WCIA. And from HollywoodChicago.com, Patrick McDonald, Uber critic, brings us to the category of best director. And this is one I think that could go in a bunch of different directions. Spike Lee has amazingly never won an Oscar.
I know. That seems crazy, doesn't it?
It does seem crazy to me, given all the amazing films that he's given us. He's nominated for Black Klansman. Paweł Pawlikowski for the Polish language film Cold War is nominated. Yorgos Lanthimos for the movie The Favorite. Alfonso Cuarón for Roma. And Adam McKay for Vice. Patrick, your choice for best director?
Alfonso Cuarón for Roma. Now, the Spike Lee thing is, he's always a victim of bad timing, I think. You know, he doesn't get the nominations in the right year. There's always a competition. There's always that kind of thing. I don't know. I think he's much as a victim of bad timing as not being honored. But
what's your pick, Pamela?
I think that Alfonso Cuarón is going to win it. But this one, I kept going back and forth. Is it going to be Spike Lee? Does he deserve it? Is it his time? Yes, yes, yes. Hmm. But Roma, I thought, was exquisitely directed. So who's more deserving? I could flip a coin on this one. I would love to see Spike Lee win, just because he does deserve to win at this time. He's given us a lot of great films, and he finally has something out there that is getting a lot of attention, garnering a lot of attention from critics as well as mainstream population. I'd love to see him win.
Yeah. Did you? I thought that Black Klansman maybe was Spike Lee's best movie in 10 or 15 years.
Absolutely.
I mean, in construction, I mean, if there's a movie that you can look at and go, wow, this is brilliantly directed, it's this movie.
There's so many inspiring sequences in it. I was particularly taken by that Stokely Carmichael sequence where all these faces right. were listening to him, and it very, very much the way that Spike Lee uses editing and cinematography to make a point. So, yeah.
Yeah. Tom, how about you?
This has been a tough one for me because I think this is the strongest category this year. Pretty much everybody nominated for Best Director has what or deals in what Alfred Hitchcock calls pure cinema. And they really have so many distinct things about them, and there's so many distinct voices. I would love to see Alfonso Cuarón get another win, but I'm going with Spike Lee. I think it's his time, and you know, he's wanted it for so long. And whether or not you think Black Klansman is his best one, it's certainly one of the best of this year, and I would love to see him win for it. But
I think it's definitely one of his best ones.
It certainly is. It's in the conversation.
It's like in the top three of his best best ones.
For me, his best is Do the Right Thing. He just blew it away. But then you've got things like Malcolm X with Denzel Washington. Absolutely amazing.
Great movie.
I also think it's going to be Alfonso Cuarón, because that, I mean, for the many things that movie is,
That is a director's movie, if ever there was a director's movie.
Yes.
For whatever negatives people have said, who have, you know, seen a black and white Spanish language movie.
Right.
And, you know, it's beautiful and it's artistic, but, you know, a lot of people said it's kind of boring also.
Well,
but, you know, it's not traditionally made, and that's kind of the beauty of it.
Yeah.
But that's also some of the, you know, what some of the detractors are saying about the movie at the same time.
He pushes the envelope with directing, though, and all the symbolism that is in that film that you may not realize the first time round with seeing the film. And I think a director who pushes the envelope may be a little too avant-garde, maybe, for a lot of people. But I think if you take a look at it 10 years from now, we're still going to be talking about this movie.
I also think it's the consciousness of the writer-director. He took it, he rendered it to film, and put it into the consciousness of the audience. That's how I felt when I saw it. So
will that also equal a Best Original Screenplay win for him in that category?
That's who I'm going with.
Roma,
just process of elimination.
Yeah, Roma for original screenplay. Roma's nominated against The Favorite, First Reformed, Green Book, and Vice.
I'm going with First Reformed.
First Reformed.
I think that Paul Schrader has been overlooked for too long, and I don't think they're going to let him leave without a little gold statue in his hands.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Patrick, same.
No, I'm going with Roma.
Roma,
on
yeah.
Okay. Only again, process of elimination. Yeah. I just.
Tom. I'm with Pam on this one. I'm saying First Reformed. It's okay. One of the most exquisitely written screenplay. I've managed to read it, and Paul Schrader is just. He's a living legend, and he's so much come into his own, especially because he was living as sort of a Scorsese guy, because he wrote Taxi Driver, Last Temptation of Christ, Raging Bull, I believe, and now he's kind of come into his own as a filmmaker. He also directed First Reformed, and I believe last night we saw Ethan Hawke won Best Actor at the Spirit Awards. And it's a movie that not a lot of people saw, and it is an incredibly disturbing movie. It is not something, and that's what Paul Schrader deals in, is just very dark things, but he wrote something that let Ethan Hawke shine in one of his best roles. So I would really love to see him get the little statue.
Yeah, I agree with Patrick. I think Roma's going to win this one. It's going to be one of the many films along the way that Roma will win. Best foreign film, I think it'll win this one. I think that Caron will win best picture. But isn't that interesting that First Reform might be the most overlooked movie this year?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Of films that should have gotten way more attention, First Reformed, you know, that if they ever add a category to the Oscars, it should be that film that's,
yeah,
that's most overlooked.
Or film that comes out from April to June instead.
Yeah, yeah. You're right.
Well, and you look at the best pictures, and they all have something that's, most all of them have something that's very socially relevant. And First Reformed took on politics, religion, and the environment and blended them all together into a hope versus despair story. I don't know how that one got overlooked by the Academy.
Yeah. Let me take a break. We'll come back. We'll get to Best Actor. We'll get to Best Picture. You know, there are other categories that you guys want to talk about, we can try to throw those in as well. 312-981-7200. If you want to text in a comment or a response, love to hear from you.
There until it's time to show. Spring is like that now, far beneath the snow.
It's Emily Blunt from Mary Poppins Returns. The Oscar-nominated song, The Place Where Lost Things Go.
Go.
Emily Blunt will not be singing it on the Oscars.
Time to get some sleep.
Tonight. Bette Midler will be singing it tonight.
We'll have it Mindy.
Do we like that? I was kind of hoping Emily Blunt would sing the song. I mean, she sang it in the movie.
Right.
I was
that hoping. It kind of makes sense to have Emily Blunt sing. I'm not sure. Right. I guess, you know, a 2-time Academy Award winner.
Star power that they want to bring her in.
Perhaps.
It seems like Emily Blunt was overlooked for everything this year.
It's a shame because...
Oh my gosh, she's got a beautiful voice. Yeah. Absolutely voice. Gorgeous.
Beautiful voice. We'll see how that turns out tonight. Now, at first they were only going to do two of the 5 Oscar-nominated songs, and then they got a lot of heat. They said, now we're going to do all the 5, but...
Lady Gaga had something to do with that because she said she would pull out if
everybody wasn't, right. Which was nice.
Yeah.
Oh.
But then Kendrick Lamar now has pulled out And so the song from Black Panther, All the Stars, I don't know if somebody else is going to perform it or if they're just not going to do it because Kendrick Lamar is not going to be there.
Interesting.
So. And I'm hoping that Ruth Bader Ginsburg herself shows up.
I do, too.
To sing the song from her movie, which is nominated, I'll Fight. I believe, actually, that's Jennifer Hudson.
It is. It is. I'd like to see the two of them together doing a duet.
She loves the opera.
She does. It'd
be fantastic. All right. Best actor this year. The nominees are Christian Bale for Vice, Bradley Cooper for Star Is Born, Willem Dafoe at Eternity's Gate, Rami Malek for Bohemian Rhapsody, and Viggo Mortensen, Green Book. I rewatched Green Book last night because I picked it for Best Picture for some bizarre reasons, which I'll explain in a moment. But I liked it a lot better the second time than I did the first time. I still don't, personally, I still don't feel like it's the best picture of the year, despite the fact that I'm picking it to win. But it's a really good movie. It's a really nice movie, and Viggo Mortensen is quite good in the movie. I don't think he's going to win the category, though.
I don't think he has a chance.
No, it's emotionally sound. That's what I love about Green Book. There's real pure emotion in it. You know, it ends at Christmas, for gosh sakes.
Right, can't love that. Who can't love that?
So, bah humbug, right?
Yeah. So let's start with producer Tom Hush. Who will win Best Actor?
It's going to be Rami. It really is. I mean, I'm not one of the Bohemian Rhapsody fans, but his performance totally holds the whole thing together. And I think it would be kind of a shame if he didn't get it for putting all the work into literally physically emulate, I can't even remember, Freddie Mercury. That's it.
Yeah.
And so he put a lot of work in, and I think it pays off.
All right. Pam, how about you?
This is another coin toss for me. Christian Bale, same kind of makeup and mannerisms and taking over another person's entity, if you will, as well as Rami Malek. I think Christian Bale is going to eke this one out as the winner. We'll see, but I wouldn't be shocked if Rami won.
Okay.
I said in my prediction article that Christian Bale was technically intuitive, but I think Malick's performance is incendiary. There, I'm using all those fancy words to
fancy.
Say,
you are one fancy Malick. Talker.
Yeah!
You are
they
one fancy
well.
Talker. You with all these $2 words in here today. I agree with you about Rami, and for the reasons that Pamela that you gave and Tom. I love their performances. Their physical transformations were amazing, but I think a performance needs to be more than that. Mm-hmm. And in many ways, I think both of their performances were, but Rami really touched me inside.
Yeah.
It was celebratory. It was tragic. It took me back to the 70s and all the confusion and mayhem and all the things, the excesses of the 1970s, the tragedies of the 1970s, all wrapped up in that one little performance.
Nice.
With the fake teeth, so I think Rami's going to win that, so we'll see about that. For the best picture, the nominees are Black Panther, Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, The Favorite, Green Book, Roma, A Star Is Born, and Vice. If you would have asked, my pick for the best, for the one that I like best of that bunch is A Star Is Born. Mm-hmm. I don't think it has a chance to win Best Picture. Although some people are saying, two movies could cancel each other out and something could sneak in. Maybe that might happen. I think that it'll either be Roma or it'll be Green Book. If the Academy decides to go safe or not, they'll go with Green Book. And I think they are going to go safe. But here's the main reason that I think the Green Book is going to win. Not my choice for the best picture of the year. But it's a Netflix movie. And I'm not sure that the stuffy old Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences is ready to give their top prize to Netflix yet. An online platform, which is not really a movie medium. Motion picture medium on big screen.
Right.
Motion picture medium. Might be 100% wrong on that, but that's where I'm going.
I can see how that could be a possibility, and they are and I like your terms, and you can say that now. I can say that the old stuffy Academy, and I hope they make a statement this year. I hope that they go away from the safe choices. I hope they go with Black Klansman. I would love to see that film win. We need that, a statement. I would love to see that happen. I think, though, that they are going to go with Roma and all the accolades that film and Alfonso Cuarón have been gathering. I think they're probably going to go with that. I hadn't thought about the whole Netflix aspect. That's a very, very good point. So. Yeah.
Let me get. I'm going to save you for last, Tom, or Patrick, rather, because you've got a good, really interesting choice. Tom, how about you?
I'm also for Roma. And your point about the old stuffy people at the Academy is true.
It's not as stuffy as it used to be, but it's still pretty stuffy.
Yeah.
It's
and still pretty stuffy. They'd be making a mistake if they didn't. At least the fact that it's nominated is a big thing. But if they gave it the top prize, I think that would show a level of forward thinking that they need at this point. Because this is the future. This is how people are going to watch movies now.
Maybe. It's possible. I mean, it's all very possible. But I think because they're going to give director to Roma, I think, cinematography, original screenplay, lots of other best foreign movie. Roma's not going to walk away empty-handed.
Right.
They'll probably win more than anyone else tonight. I wonder if they're also going to do what Tom said and, you know, go the extra mile with that. Patrick, what about your choice?
Well, I also wonder at what point do you get old and what point do you get stuffy? But I'm thinking that...
Let me check my files and I'll... I can't remember, but I know it happened.
I woke up one morning. So anyway, I think the Academy has done a job of trying to you get some more people in. They brought international people in this year. It's getting a little younger. It's skewing a little younger. But that's just an opinion about that. Black Panther is my pick. And I thought about this and thought about this, but I said it off during commercial that culturally, Black Panther has made an impact in our whole society, especially with African Americans, obviously. The empowering points of Black Panther cannot be denied with not only the comic book genre, but also just, you know, an overall social cultural genre. I think it's a bold statement, a little bolder than Black Klansman. I'm going to go Black Panther.
And don't
Wakanda forever.
Black Panther also, don't you think? I mean, it kind of changed the movie industry.
It did.
There were some really profound changes. Those are, I think, really excellent points.
And Black Panther, I think, really made me look at superhero movies in a little different light. I'm not a huge fan of that genre. Yet this particular film made me see the social implications, as you were talking about, Pat, that this film brought to light in a very creative and entertaining way.
Right.
I don't think I would have put it in the Best Picture category, personally, but the Academy hasn't yet asked me to be on their voting board, so we'll wait for that. Can you do anything about that, Tom?
We're being played off. I think we talked too long. Stop that music. Stop that music. I'm going to continue to talk.
That's right. I'm not done.
Tom's acting like I've never, like, he doesn't tell me 100 times per show to wrap it up and we have to go to a break.
What can I say?
Like I'm going to do it now. But we do have to go to the news, so I am going to wrap it up. Tom, thank you very much. Tom Husch was
you're welcome.
You're awesome. Genius guy. Film thinker. Pamela Powell with Daily Journal, FET Lifestyle Magazine, FF2 Media, and WCIA. And Patrick McDonald, Uber critic with HollywoodChicago.com. Will you be doing post-Oscar pieces that we can see, read, hear?
I do a follow-up, on the website. I'm also on the Eddie Volkman show every Friday.
On the Fox?
Yes,
is that what it's
the
called?
Fox. The Fox? Yes. So,
are you going to be at that event
Eddie.
That they do, that outdoor event that they do?
Which one? They do a lot of... Talk about the Easter egg hunt?
Yes.
Yes. I'm definitely...
I'm going to be at that.
Oh, great.
I'm going to bring the TV morning show, and we're coming out to that.
Perfect.
Yeah, I'll get it while it's all right. Thank you guys very much for
Thanks
coming
Thanks so much.
In. So,
yeah,
so interesting. Well, quick break, and we'll update news. What are your favorite food scenes from the movies? Usually we have so much fun with that every year. We'll get to that after a check of WGN News, where Steve Cochran celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 7:20. It's here on 7:20 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users say play WGN Radio on TuneIn, News is sponsored by Cars for Kids. Here's Dave Schwann.
Cloudy and windy 29 at O'Hare. Our wind warning, high wind warning, continues throughout the day. The winds are now west at 32, and they're gusting to 49. We'll have the full forecast in a moment. R. Kelly remaining in jail, failing to post his $100,000 in bond. As WGN-TV's Courtney Guzman reports, his attorney is trying to put together the money because the singer is in bad financial shape.
Kelly was dropped by his record label, Sony. The singer owes more than $161,000 in child support and money to his landlord of his recording studio. He's also behind on his condo inside Trump Towers.
R. Kelly is being held on $1 million bond. He's charged with sexually abusing four people, three of them minors. He turned himself in Friday night. As we mentioned, this high wind warning will continue throughout the day, and we will have an update on traffic and numerous overturned vehicles on various expressways due to the high winds today. WGN meteorologist Mike Hamernick reporting the gusts up to 70 miles an hour in Michigan City this morning. A flight bound for Dubai from the capital of Bangladesh made an emergency landing in Chittagong, Bangladesh, after a man attempted to hijack the plane. Authorities say the suspect tried to speak to the country's prime minister before he died from injuries in an exchange of gunfire with military commandos. Catholic church leaders from around the world just concluded an historic four-day summit at the Vatican on the issue of sex abuse and its cover-up by clergy. Pope Francis announced today he felt the survivors' anger, quoting, like the wrath of God, he intends to ramp up accountability. Here's ABC's David Wright.
He said there is now an all-out war on sex abuse in the church. There should be no tolerance for priests who abuse children, accountability for bishops who covered it up. And he also said the church really needs to be more transparent in its efforts to respond to people who've suffered.
An investigation is underway into the death of a 52-year-old man found after a fire in the Garfield Ridge neighborhood last night. He was found in the second-floor apartment of the building in the 5200 block of South Linder. No other injuries were reported. Are you looking for a new home? WGN's Roger Battish has an offer you can't refuse.
How'd you like a lake view on the Indiana Dunes National Park? While the home was built in 1933, it was state-of-the-art back then when people saw it at the Chicago World's Fair. The famed House of Tomorrow was moved to the dunes and sat there weathering the elements. Indiana Landmarks says anyone who agrees to restore the home will get a 50-year lease. The catch is that the home needs about $3 million in repairs. Roger Battish, WGN News.
WGN Sports, Andy Mazur.
It's the Blackhawks and the Stars at the United Center coming up later this afternoon. Another big game for the Blackhawks. They try to keep pace in the Western Conference playoff race. Come in 4 points behind the Stars and Avalanche for that last wild card spot. Cam Ward expected to start in net. Brent Seabrook likely to return after missing three games with an abdominal issue. Patrick Kane with a 20-game point streak on the line as well. Chris Bowden has all the details in this pregame show at 1:30. John and Troy will have the call for you at 2 o'clock on WGN and WGNradio.com. 39 years ago today, U.S. Olympic hockey team beat Finland 4-2 in Lake Placid to claim the gold medal. 2 days earlier, they pulled off the miracle on ice with that victory over the Soviet Union. I'm going to relive some of those great moments in both of those games coming up at 1 o'clock, just before we send you to Blackhawks pregame.
Oh, you're going to be on after us.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing the little sports show before the Blackhawks.
Did you want me to stick around? And when you do relive those moments, I can be in the background going, USA!
Yeah.
USA!
I think, you know, before a live studio audience would be great.
Okay.
Yeah. If you can stay. I mean, I don't want to, you know, put you out there.
I don't really have anything else to do today.
Okay. I mean,
it's not a busy day for me at all today.
You're on TV right now, and you're on, you know, and you're on the radio right now.
Oh, that's right. The Bozo special is on now, isn't it?
We've got The Magician going right now.
The Bozo Circus, the 1960s replay is on right now on WGN-TV.
Mm-hmm. I told producer Tom Hush that I might not be able to do the news because I am watching this. This is too good.
If I had a choice between listening to the show or watching that.
Don't turn it off yet, okay?
Wait till Andy's done.
I've got some more stuff to tell you.
I'm 10 years old all over again.
Well, so what else is new? Back to you, Andy.
Okay, college basketball coming up today. Michigan will host Michigan State in the Big Ten. It is Loyola at Southern Illinois. Illinois State hosting Drake. And in the Horizon League, it's UIC against Milwaukee. Off day for the Bulls. They get the East-leading Bucks tomorrow night at the United Center. Bulls coming into that game on their first three-game winning streak of the year. Cactus League Baseball today, the Padres and the White Sox in Peoria this afternoon. White Sox also agreeing to a minor league deal with pitcher Irvin Santana. White Sox will be on your radio tomorrow in their game against the San Francisco Giants in Scottsdale. That game will come to you here at 2 o'clock. And speaking of Scottsdale and the Giants, that's where the Cubs are today. On the home of the Blackhawks, Northwestern Wildcats and White Sox baseball, Andy Mazur, WGN Sports.
WGN traffic, quite a bit going on. We have stopped traffic on I-57 southbound after Harlem to past Piatone Road because of an overturned vehicle there that has been the case for well over an hour now. In Bartlett, still a problem on West Bartlett Road between Amherst Drive and Oakwood Lane because of fallen power cables. That first rip was reported at 8:30 this morning. On the Eisenhower stop-and-go traffic between Route 390 and the Veterans Memorial Tollway because of an accident there. The Eisenhower on in, a 34-minute trip now from Route 390 to the old post office, 20 minutes from Mannheim on in. On the Tri-State, stop-and-go between 95th and Harlem because of vehicle fire cleanup in the right lane. In West Chicago, watch for an accident at Roosevelt Road, at Town Road, and on the Kennedy now, slower traffic from O'Hare on into downtown. 25 minutes from O'Hare to downtown, 15 minutes from Montrose on in, and a little slow on the Dan Ryan, 20 minutes from 95th to downtown.
Never enjoyed the traffic more watching a juggler on Channel 9 at the same time. In our Bozo Circus, the 1960s special. It's a fantastic
juggler.
It's
a juggler and a magician.
Yeah.
He did everything but pull a rabbit out of his hat.
Wait till the dancing poodles come out. The dancing poodles are later.
This is the favorite. Get it? The favorite.
The Bozo Big Shot Band.
Oscars. For personalized traffic
on
demand.
He's balancing a ball on his forehead right now. Now it's on his ear. Now it's on his forehead. Now it's on his other ear.
Oh.
Bam. From one ear to the other ear. To the other ear. To the other ear. To the other ear. That's entertainment, ladies and gentlemen.
And listen to the great Don Hamernick on drums.
That's right. Bozo Big Top Band. I want that to be my theme song.
Oh. I'm in my ute. I'm back in my ute.
Bozo Circus, the 1960s.
Oh.
On the big number nine right now.
For personalized traffic on demand and a soundtrack from the Bozo Show, get the traffic show.
Hey, when do we play the grand prize game? Sure thing, Bulls.
It's approved by for personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. It's approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. And now the forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center, given to us by Sandy the Tramp. Turn the music down. I can't hear Sandy give the weather.
Sandy doesn't speak.
That's what I said. Sandy giving the weather.
I get it. I get it. Sorry. Stupid clown show. I think we may have hit a new low of stupidness today.
No, this is our Peabody Award winning entry right here. A high wind warning.
Wait, there's a juggler who's bouncing like a ball on his head. That's entertainment. I don't care what you say. That is entertaining. I'm going to go on TV and bounce a ball off my head.
As we're talking all about this on the radio.
Go ahead, Charlie. Go ahead and finish.
A high wind warning continuing today.
I should turn this off for the high wind warning.
Extremely windy. Colder. The winds gusting as high as 60 miles an hour. Highs in the 30s today, and then they will be falling later today. Very windy, cold overnight. Lows of 5 to 10 above with wind chills down to minus 15. And for tomorrow, morning sun and cloudiness later on. Very cold, a high of only 20 for tomorrow. 26 now at O'Hare, Midway 28, Addison 26, Chicago's Lakefront 27. I'm Dave Schwann in the WGN Radio Newsroom, ready to join the conversation whenever a story changes on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
So many ideas for new theme songs for this show from now on.
It never ends.
I've never been on TV and radio at exactly the same time before.
Here's something for us to do with the remote. Try to spin the plates.
Oh, this is perfect for the special remote broadcast.
Yes. We should try and spin the plates or balance balls on our head.
Chwani will dress up like a dancing poodle. Da, 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 da. That's fantastic. Okay, that's enough. It's enough of that.
Oh,
it's a little mesmerizing, isn't it, Chwani?
Where is my tomato soup and my grilled cheese sandwich?
Exactly right. That's what you need to watch this classic show. Here's what I recommend.
That I'm done. I can't continue.
You know what's perfect? If you turn the volume down on your TV and, you know, watch the action and leave the radio up, so you know, and listen to us at the same time.
Well, like people do when they watch the Blackhawks on TV.
Yeah, exactly.
They turn on John and Troy.
Right. And have both. Have the radio going at the same time and the TV going at the same time. Nothing's going to sync up, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Still get the best of both. Okay, so we're going to get into our food time segment coming up at about 12:30, but I wanted to repeat something that we did at the beginning of the show today related to the R. Kelly story, and that is talk with music critic Jim DeRogatis, who has been following this horrible story and been reporting on it for nearly 20 years. We talked with Jim toward the beginning of the show today about the latest developments in this case. And since he has really been doggedly following the story for such a long time, I wondered if he felt vindicated, if he felt, how he felt with the story and these new indictments that have come down for singer R. Kelly.
That's a question that everybody keeps asking me, and it's the only question in 19 years of reporting on R. Kelly that I have trouble answering. I think mostly I feel a profound sadness, Dean. The first Chicago girl who he picked up in her choir class at Kenwood Academy was 1991. That's 28 years, Dean, of the city of Chicago failing its young black girls. I know the names of 48. I know two of the ones in the current four in the state's indictment. I don't know the other two. We could round that up to at least 50, okay? And I suspect, I have good reason to suspect, based on 19 years of reporting, that there are many more. You live in Chicago. I live in Chicago. We love this city. It's impossible to walk two blocks on the south or west sides or at any musical event, which you cover like I do, and not find people who know people who are people who've been hurt by the biggest superstar in the history of R&B. I think the story, Dean, is so big that we won't come to appreciate it for several years. One of the most successful black musicians ever preyed on untold black underage girls for 30 years in full view of the world spotlight while generating, I am told, in income for himself, almost $250 million. And yet he sits in jail now for a second day, unable to come up with $100,000.
Well, Jim, see, that's this is one of the most puzzling things to me about it, because you're 100% correct when you say that, you know, for almost these 20 years, we've been hearing reports from you, but also from people who don't want to go on record saying that they were affected. They know someone affected. They know someone who was abused. And all of this went on for nearly 20 years and nothing happened. What changed?
Well, part of it is Time's Up and the Mute R. Kelly movement and the docuseries on Lifetime, and activists in our city, like Mickey Kendall, a brilliant young black writer, and many, many others, older women, like Mary Mitchell, my colleague at the Sun-Times, who've been ringing the alarm bell for decades. Part of it is the cultural shift, and part of it is he's out of money. I hate to be so cynical, but he does not have the money to come up with $100,000 to get out of jail, much less to pay the lawyers and settlements and enablers that have allowed him to get away with allegedly, these two decades of crimes. When the money runs out, he's not immune. But the money was so substantial for so long that he got away with ruining untold lives, untold number of lives. It's just, I mean, wow, is that a cynical thought for a Sunday morning?
Well, I mean, a truthful one. I mean, that's, you know.
Yes, it is true. It is true. I never wanted to write a book, Dean, but 19 years of reporting, it needs to be told. My book, Soulless, The Case Against R. Kelly, comes out in June. It's a sad book in many ways. It's about Chicago. It's about journalism. It's about a corrupt music industry. But mostly, Dean, it's about the girls. You know, these women who've been speaking to me in heart-wrenching conditions. You know, 4 hours where they cry and bare their souls about their sexual assaults over a period sometimes of years, telling me their stories. I am only amplifying what they have told me. The heroes today, to the extent that you can call anything about this tragedy heroic, are those women, Dean. I never want to take the spotlight off of those women.
The full conversation with Jim DeRogatis is going to be up on the web, WGNradio.com. You can hear the whole thing. It was a fascinating conversation from his perspective of covering this story for the last 19 years. One of the most frustrating parts for him about this is that he has been talking about this, all that has culminated now in these indictments for R. Kelly, for decades, for nearly two decades. So you can understand his frustration. If you're interested in this case, I highly suggest that you get to the web and hear the rest of that conversation. We'll take a quick break. We'll update news. And when we come back, food from the movies, as we always do on Oscar Sunday. That's coming up next, WGN. Tomorrow morning on the WGN TV Morning News, I'll be recapping the Oscars, all the winners, the losers, the highlights, the lowlights of the Academy Award show. All tomorrow morning on WGN-TV. Schwani, as opposed to what's on WGN-TV right now as we speak, not only on WGN-TV, but anywhere in the world you can watch online, WGNTV.com/live.
And as Andy can tell you, I've been watching.
You do better.
Yeah, I'd like to get the lollipop. I'll all right. Probably win it because I sing really.
As you can hear, we're doing a documentary on the mayoral candidates.
We're called the Roaches.
The
right now.
So you give us.
Hey, I want to be mayor of Chicago.
We'll come crawling in. All right.
I'll give you all the fun.
Bozo's doing a spoof of the Beatles. They're doing a spoof of the Beatles.
I'm almost afraid to do it. But I'm going to do
it. Oh, I remember
the Beatles were supposed to be on the premises the Beatles were supposed to be on. So instead, Oliver, Bozo, and Sandy pretend to play instruments, and they're called the Roaches. This is them. It's our WGN TV Bozo Circus 1960s now, special.
I would like to add that the microphone that Mr. Ned is using is the Electrovoice 635A.
for those of you microphone aficionados,
technically minded young broadcasters out there,
we'll be pointing that out to you throughout the remainder of the program. News is sponsored by Joint Relief System. Here's Dave Schwan.
And we still have a high wind warning in effect with winds gusting up to 60 miles an hour in places. WGN meteorologist Mike Hamernick reporting earlier this morning the winds were gusting up to 70 miles an hour at the lighthouse in Michigan City, Indiana. We'll have the full forecast in a moment. R. Kelly remains in jail, failing to post a $100,000 bond, that money being put together by his attorney today. He is being charged with sexually abusing four people, including three minors. A House Democrat is threatening to call special counsel Robert Mueller to Capitol Hill, subpoena documents, and take the Trump administration to court if the full report on the Russia investigation isn't made public. Intelligence Chair Adam Schiff tells ABC's This Week his committee will be watching to see if Attorney General William Barr were to try to bury any part of this report, and warns there will be immense pressure on Barr to release everything. We'll check sports, traffic, and weather next on WGN. WGN Sports, Blackhawks playing the Dallas Stars this afternoon. Our pregame with Chris Bowden at 1:30. The game starting at 2 o'clock with John Weideman and Troy Murray on 720 WGN and WGNRadio.com. Exhibition baseball today. The White Sox play San Diego. The Cubs play San Francisco. Yesterday, Sox losing in a split squad series, losing the first game to L.A. 7-6, also losing the second game to Oakland 6-5. The Cubs beat Milwaukee yesterday 8-4. WGN traffic, a lot going on this afternoon. Still a problem on I-57, southbound after Harlem to pass Piatone Road, blocking the left lane, overturned vehicle there. That's been the case for a couple hours now. In Bartlett, still a problem at West Bartlett Road between Amherst and Oakwood because of fallen power cables. And on the Eisenhower, slow going now, a 35-minute trip from Route 390 into the old post office. Stop-and-go traffic between 390 and the Veterans Memorial Tollway due to an accident. The Kennedy, 25 minutes from O'Hare to downtown, 15 minutes from Montrose on in, and also a little slow on the Ryan, 20 minutes from 95th to downtown. For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. It's approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. The forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. High wind warning continuing until 6 tonight. Mostly cloudy for this afternoon, a high in the 30s. Temperatures will be falling, though, into the 20s by evening. Very windy and cold overnight. Lows of 5 to 10 above. Wind chills down to 15 below. For tomorrow morning, sun in the morning, clouds gathering later in the day, and a high of only 20. 25 at O'Hare. We have 27 at Midway. River Forest has 25, and Chicago's Lakefront 27. I'm Dave Schwann in the WGN Radio Newsroom, and these are the stories that matter on 720 WGN.
Be our guest, be our guest, put our service to the test. Tie your napkin round your neck, Sherry, and we'll provide the rest. Soup to shore, hot or dove, why we only live to serve. Try the gray stuff, it's delicious.
One of the greatest food scenes from the movies of all time. It's an Oscar Sunday tradition here on our food show, where we open up the phone lines and take your calls for your favorite food scenes of all time. There are thousands of them, some more famous than the others. I think this Be Our Guest sequence with the dancing food and the dancing utensils is one of the greatest of all time. I think that the food fight from Animal House, John Belushi, definitely one of the greatest food scenes of all time.
I was going to mention that.
It's a great one. Have you ever seen the movie The Big Night? Stanley Tucci, Tony Shalhoub.
I have not seen that.
It is one of the greatest movies of all time. But it's about two brothers in the 1950s, I think. They open a small Italian restaurant. And, you know, they're trying to get attention. So they stage a big night at the restaurant where one of the brothers, who is the chef, is going to prepare the most elaborate meals. This movie is just nothing but food-centric. And I highly recommend this. Any scene from the movie The Big Night is a great one for food scenes. Julia and Julie, the movie about Julia Child, another great one. I love Pulp Fiction, I think, is a great one. A food scene where you don't actually see food, but the conversation between John Travolta and Samuel L. Jackson about, do you know what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in France, is one of the most classic scenes of all time. I just talked to Samuel L. Jackson this week. I interviewed him for the new movie that he's in. He's in the Captain Marvel movie. And I asked him, what are the movies that people ask him about of all time, talk to him about? And that scene is one of the ones that, you know, he says is one of the most talked about of all time. So, you know, I want to take your calls, take your texts of what you think are the best food scenes of all time. We're going to, you know, share some great food products that we've got on our WGN prize list when you call in. at 312-981-7200. We've got, on the text line, we've got two pies worthy of mention. One from the movie The Help. And if you saw the movie The Help, you know what pie I'm talking about in that movie. And the other one is another one that I can't say talk about specifically, but it's the apple pie from the movie American Pie that someone has called to talk about. Phil, how about you? You're on WGN. What's your favorite food from the movie scene?
Good morning. I love the breakfast scene from Uncle Buck.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. What's your favorite?
You should have seen the toast.
What's that?
You should have seen the toast. I couldn't even get it through the door.
That was such a good movie. I'm going to send you a pair of tickets for the 5th Annual Chocolate, Wine, and Spirits Expo in Chicago, Plumbers Hall, March 9th and 10th. If you'll hold on for just a second, and we'll take some more of your calls when we come back next.
What do you mean? I don't like spam!
Spam, 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 spam.
Food scenes from the movies. Although this is television, still a great scene. Still a great food scene. 312-981-7200. Kyle, you've got a different Monty Python movie that's a great food scene, right?
Yes, we do. Hello.
Good morning. Good afternoon, Kyle. Hello.
Hello. How are you? The Meaning of Life from Monty Python is probably one of the grossest but one of the funniest food scenes ever made.
That's a fantastic scene.
I'm sorry. There's also, commented about pie fights. You have to have the pie fight from The Great Race.
Oh, my gosh. I'd forgotten about that. I don't think anyone's ever mentioned that in all the years that we've been doing this Food from the Movies segment on Oscar Sunday. No one has ever mentioned The Great Race and that wonderful, wonderful pie scene from it. Exactly. That's a great choice, too.
Yeah, Tony Curtis walks through the entire pie fight wearing his white suit and doesn't get hit by a single pie until the very end. It's highly recommended. It's very, very funny.
Fantastic choreography in that. Hang on for seconds because I want to get you a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. On our text line, 630 area code says, from a recent movie, the fried chicken scene in Green Book is great. That is a fantastic scene where Viggo Mortensen and Mahershala Ali are in the car. They're just getting to know each other. This, you know, odd couple for sure. And they're driving through Kentucky, and the Viggo Mortensen's character is, you know, wants to get some Kentucky fried chicken while he's in Kentucky, and they're eating fried chicken in the car. It's the first time that Mahershala Ali's character has ever had fried chicken. It's a wonderful, wonderful food scene. Let's go to Tim. You're on WGN. Hi.
Hey, good morning, Dean. How are you?
Very well. Welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, first of all, you got a great crew there on Sunday mornings, and I also really like the segment you do with Cochran.
Thank 8 you.
8 o'clock or about 8:10 or so, Monday through Friday.
More on entertainment. More on entertainment.
You guys are certainly morons entertainment.
Thank you. We take that as that's a compliment. Thank you.
It is a compliment. So I had two in mind. The first one is one of the three films in the trifecta of comedy. It's Nick DiCiglio would say. It's from Animal House. It's in the cafeteria, and John Belushi is just going down the line and stuffing every bit of food he can in his mouth.
Fantastic.
And then, of course, just smashes his cheeks, and then all that breaks loose. It was wonderful. And then the other one is, I agree with you, the Royale with cheese scene in Pulp Fiction is wonderful.
Yeah.
But also, not long after that is also when Samuel L. Jackson is eating the leftover Big Kahuna Burger.
Right.
In the apartment.
Right. Oh, man. Those are great scenes. Those are perfect, wonderful, great scenes. It's got a lot of new entries this year into our choices here. That's outstanding.
Yes, and he says, may I wash that Big Kahuna Burger down with this Sprite to wash this away? It's wonderful. It's a great film.
It's great. I'm going to get you some tickets for the 5th Annual Chocolate, Wine, and Spirits Expo. Tim, thank you very much for calling in. Have a great Oscar Sunday. Let's go to Diane. You are on WGN. Hello.
Well, wow. How great is that? Thanks, Steve, for taking my call.
You made it.
I've got a movie
I've got a movie that probably a lot of people haven't seen. It's called Tampopo.
Tampopo.
And it's all about how to make ramen soup.
Huh.
And this movie is hilarious.
Really? Okay. When did it come out? Is it a new movie, old movie?
Oh, no, no. It's an old film. It's a foreign film. It's Asian. I'm not sure Chinese or what, but it's about this man that's a specialist in making ramen soup, and he's trying to teach this woman who wants to open a restaurant how to make the perfect ramen soup, and this movie is absolutely hilarious.
I'm going to have to check that out. I've never seen it, but we did look it up.
It's great, great, funny scenes in it.
It's from 1985, a Japanese comedy, it says, by director Juzu Itami. Juzu Itami. So,
there's nobody in there you'd ever know. But.
Okay. A truck driver stops at a small family-run noodle shop and decides to help the fledgling business. Does that sound familiar to you?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to check that out. I like that.
You have to. You will love this movie.
Okay, Tampopo. Somebody texting in Lady and the Tramp. Do you remember that scene with Lady and the Tramp eating spaghetti?
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's a great scene. This movie has a scene like that in it.
Oh, with ramen noodles.
Yes, it does, because there's one scene where a woman is teaching these young ladies how to properly eat ramen soup, spoon and chopsticks and stuff, and they all start slurping.
Okay, good. That's
good. All these young ladies, it's hilarious.
Somebody texting in the movie Tortilla Soup. That's a wonderful movie about family, but it's very food-centric as well. Hang on for a second so I can get you tickets for this Chocolate, Wine, and Spirits Expo March 9th and 10th. Also, don't go away, and we'll take care of that for you. Take a quick break and come back to more of your calls next on WGN.
I am Maria Portocallos, and welcome to our home. Thank you. What is it?
It's a bunt.
A bun?
Bunt.
Bun, bonk, bonk.
Bunt.
Bun.
Bunt. Bunt.
In a cake, Mori.
Such a funny
it's
scene.
It's a cake!
The bunt scene from My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Bunt, bunt.
Thank you.
It's a bunt,
you.
Bunt.
Very, very much.
That's a great scene. And also, he doesn't eat meat. That's okay. I make a lamb. He's vegetarian. A couple of other great food scenes. The text line is going crazier with food scenes. 815 area code. Eat, drink, man, woman. The Chinese predecessor of the movie Tortilla Soup. Cooking scenes are amazing. I couldn't agree more. The food scene from Tom Jones, a classic, says Susan in Crestwood. Couldn't agree more again. The Christmas Vacation and cleanup scene. Home for the Holidays with Holly Hunter. The carving the turkey scene. Hilarious. The pie fight scene from Laurel and Hardy's 1927 silent Battle of the Century. When Harry met Sally, I'll have what she's having. Classic food scene. Some great ones. Let me see, what else do we have? The Breakfast Club, lunch in the library scene, the Blues Brothers, four fried chicken, dry white toast is great. Oh, one of the great food scenes ever in Blazing Saddles, sitting around the campfire eating beans, of course. Hey, Rick, you're on WGN. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you?
Very well.
Good. I was just going to say the Blazing Saddles one, but another one is the movie Big with Tom Hanks when he goes to the buffet and he eats the little corn.
Oh, fantastic. When he gets those little pickled, tiny corn on the cobs and he's eating
right.
It like an actual corn on the cob.
Exactly.
And then moves on to the caviar, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, hilarious. Yeah, that's a great one. Hang on for a second. I want to get you a Lou Malnati's gift certificate also. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Bernie. You're on WGN. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, dear. I don't know if anybody, I came in kind of late. Anybody mentioned the Jimmy Cagney with the grapefruit,
which
is one of the greatest scenes ever.
Is that Public Enemy? Is that his movie Public Enemy?
I think so. I can't remember, to be
pretty
honest.
Sure, I can't remember my Cagney movies right now, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is. But he's sitting at a table with a woman, and she says something, and he takes his half of grapefruit and smashes it into her face.
Yeah, it could have been White Heat, too, now that I think about it. Yeah,
we'll look it up.
You're on there.
Yeah, we'll look it up. What else?
But the other one was in Beetlejuice when they're sitting around the kitchen table and they break into a banana song. Remember
that? Right. That's a good one.
It was hilarious.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Here's another text from 708. Funny food scene in the 80s movie The Goonies when they're captured and the old woman says, "The only thing that we serve here is tongue." Classic.
That was good. That was very good.
Classic, classic, classic scene. Appreciate the call, my friend. Thank you. Hang on for a second. I'm going to get you tickets for the Chocolate, Wine, and Spirits Expo. Let me see here. Some of the other, a lot of people texting in scenes from Animal House. The food fight, of course, I think is the most famous. But when he sucks down the green jello, the classic. Here's the 847 area code saying the blueberry pie contest. That is a fantastic scene that I can't recreate for you here on the radio at all. 847 area code, the movie Ratatouille. Another great, fantastic food movie. Here's another Blues Brothers reference. Guess there's a lot in that one, but Aretha Franklin in the diner singing You Better Think What You're Trying to Do to Me, that was shot down on Maxwell Street, as a matter of fact. Someone saying John Travolta in the pie-eating scene in Michael. What else do we have here? Yeah, Tom Jones. A lot of people remembering Tom Jones. A lot of people remembering When Harry Met Sally, I'll Have What She's Having. Lady and the Tramp getting a lot of mentions here as well. Here's the movie The Last Holiday with Queen Latifah when she orders everything on the menu. Remember that as well. That's some great scenes. Oh, and here's another great Blues Brothers one. The diner scene when they're at the Shea Paul restaurant and he leans over to the next table and says, "How much for the women?" Another fantastic food scene. Foods from the movies on this Oscars Sunday, WGN.